Yes, I'll introduce her. December 17th. A poem.
So we probably sent some stuff back to Carrie.
She forwarded them to me.
What? I know.
Yeah.
Well, I would suggest this. If you can't make it, we'll just talk about
it.
Yeah,
he's not here.
So, well, we can talk about it. Once we talk about it, we can send this out to the rest of the bigger group.
Yeah, I sent it to Tammy, but
what
late.
What, you talking about delaying
condition monitoring? His condition
No.
Was that this morning?
I did this morning.
We talked about it
just
the group.
And then I knew you were on the way over. I just figured you could have it to
Palm as a whole.
If people want an electronic copy, if you're going to want a copy, I've got 20 copies in my briefcase here. So.
Gary, honestly, it's really an issue that shouldn't be an issue, but it is because it's the Columbia River Basin, and we have to make an issue out of everything. Because
we're all on the same page there.
We have a skill set. It's pretty impressive. It's just that Gary basically wants
to have condition monitoring.
He wants to have something in the buy-up that basically that has the complaint that says this is what we consider the minimum condition monitoring have to do.
Thou shalt.
And thou shalt. I.e. Ice Harbor is really the only one that's in effect, but
no, it's not. Quit saying.
No, well, if I say that, then I can get it by more people. Trevor, if you make it bigger than it needs to be.
Well,
so we are recording.
That's this whole argument.
Do I really care?
I'm doing away with small monitoring altogether.
I didn't know you single-handedly have that power. I didn't know that. That's excellent.
Because it got fired.
Wait till the next buyout.
As long as they bring money to change Ice Harbor through smolt monitoring, and then if they want to pay for core bios for
this is NOAA making sure you are doing your bare minimum requirements. So you guys can in the
is
task group
changing from the last memo the amount.
No idea.
Our
issue is just
I lined it up with FPC on the observations on the metrics.
It's still twice a week. It's just you can't have the giant 6-day gaps between.
Right.
That's it.
So I mean, obviously, as long as we can fit it between Monday and Thursday, we're going to be okay. If we can do it Monday and then Thursday, we'll still be fine. But that's the only days we have people on site.
Yeah.
Bios people.
That way,
all right. So we're 10 minutes after 9 o'clock, and there's eight other people on the phone.
Just finished this task group meeting.
Yeah.
Did we just finish the task group meeting?
I think we're doing
close.
Okay.
It's as close to our holiday.
Oh, right. So those of you who are on the phone, could you tell us who you are?
Let me see a whole troop of people.
Yeah, there was quite a few over my office.
Bally Johnson, McNary,
Goose. Oh, good.
Doug Balscore.
What, it's too far to make it upstairs?
Yeah, Doug,
come on.
Are you afraid of elevators?
Nurse in BPA.
Thank you. We didn't know. That's why my hair's still wet.
Rick Martin.
Okay.
Don Moore, Pacific State. James Trachtenberg, Walla Walla.
Denise Griffith, McNary.
Chuck Barnes, Walla Walla. Towns Burgess, Little Goose.
Probably it. Good.
All right.
From McNary, we had Bobby Johnson, Dennis Griffiths, and Rick Martinson. Rick Martinson's not from McNary, but I think he's calling in to talk about a McNary MOC.
He is, though.
Ben House in Bonneville.
The Wascow.
Which I get fat.
Who was the first person who we...
Bobby Johnson.
Bobby Johnson.
Oh, okay.
Who was the last person?
Hausman.
Oh, Ben.
Just make sure you review the notes to be sure that your attendance was captured.
I don't want to admit I was here.
I already have you on the audio as being here. Nice try.
Things to grow.
I have cameras. Already
so, there is apple butter pecan coffee cake over there and
holy
magic
crap.
Cookie bars.
Well, that was not on the phone.
Did not need breakfast, I guess.
Pass around first before we get
well, let me sample.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm. Trust me, you'll all be so much happier after
gonna get
you just eat those.
Done.
And before we do introductions around the table, I wanted to introduce Ida Royer, who is on detail from Bonneville Project. She will be the acting Columbia River coordinator for the next 3 months.
Carrie.
Good luck with the notes.
Carrie has moved on.
It's a high bar to match the
oh
notes.
Boy.
Yep.
We abused Carrie pretty well.
And
so
the thing is, you knew Tammy, and you still took the detail. That's shocking.
Shut
She's not biting on that one. It's way too early to answer that.
Oh. All right, so around the table. Go ahead, Ida. You can introduce yourself.
Ida Royer, Core.
Tammy Mackey.
Lisa Wright.
John Rarisich.
Trevor Condor.
Tom Morrison.
Gary Chester.
Gary Fredericks.
Ann Sutter.
Didn't mean to step on
All right.
you.
All right. So.
Didn't mean to step on you.
Yeah, small group here, so we expect more people to show up.
Who will later, though?
Will they make it over?
I talked to, I talked to our my receptionist, said, hey, by the way, it's not in our office. If anyone comes over, she goes, oh, yeah, there's already been some people over here. So she said people, so it's more than Lisa, I'm guessing.
Any other Walla Walla folks?
Cordy and Zorich are on their way down there.
Not coming.
So it's probably they probably turn off and make minimums and said, screw it.
I know. One of them looked at the
drive?
Agenda.
Yeah, yesterday. I drove yesterday. But
Ida made it here first, so that bodes well for her.
She's got
ability
a,
to do the details.
Probably thought January
she can read.
Coming in.
Show her the right
this
place.
This is kind of a
I know, I
short
meeting
anyway.
She can read and she can MapQuest. Well done.
All right, so any additional comments to the November meeting minutes? I understand, Gary, you had comments and Carrie incorporated those.
I did.
And I'm going to suggest under updates, we had the Wasco crane failure that maybe we either talk about the MOC that went out yesterday or else we... So if that'd be okay with everybody, I think we'll do that. We've got several people
on
the phone for that.
Wait a second, we're on November meeting minutes.
Oh, okay, sorry. I thought we were changing agendas, new agenda items.
Not yet. She's trying to get her meeting notes approved.
Sorry.
I had a magic
any
bar.
Additional You need one is the problem. Additional changes to November meeting minutes. We're all good? All
I've right. gone through half. If I find something in the second half, I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know. All right. So now, any additional agenda items?
I have one.
Yes.
I would like to add the lower granite diversion gate to get an update for that. Next FPOM, we heard at the Walla Walla Fitterwig while we were in Walla Walla prior to AFEP last Monday that it appears that about 90% of the fish that are migrating through lower granite dam are diverted into the trap. Whether the trap is actually in operation or not, they have to go through the trap and through a false weir. Experience some potential trapping effects in the holding pool and then go through. This has an impact on the ability to study those fish in terms of the sound and vibration work that they're doing. Not only that, the bigger issue is the fact that all our fish are being diverted through a trap and they don't need to be. And
29%.
So what I need to know is why is a trap being operated like that? Why is the diversion gate not being opened? Is it a maintenance issue? Is it that it's an old gate? If that's the case, can we get it replaced? Or is this a, we have to do this because we need to trap X number of fish, which we would have to tackle in a separate forum. So just want to get some details on this. I talked to Elizabeth about it. She said she's got some ideas in there. Operations crew are looking at some different kinds of gates, but funding could be an issue. I haven't been able to get a hold of Darren Ogden. I called him this morning and nobody picked up over there, so I just kind of gave him a heads up that I'd bring it up today. But kind of want to run this one to ground, so we weren't aware that that many fish were being diverted.
It's an operation, like a lot of things, I think that's evolved over time. And I don't know if Darren's been there for about 3 or 4 years, so I think getting Darren up to speed as well as Elizabeth, but the gate was rehabbed just 2 years ago because it was really in bad shape then, and then in a winter work window they did rehab it, although I think what I'm told is that it's like
it's still a manual
200 cranks or 271 cranks to do it, which is a little archaic, you know, probably makes it so people tend not to do it rather than to do it. So
I think
yeah,
you need to put that as part of their daily regimen for exercise. Is yeah, it like their gym workout? I don't know, they should be embracing
yeah, motor.
This
they should have a motor drive.
Yeah. The fact that it doesn't.
So, I mean, you've got somebody who's got a hand.
Yeah, it's worthy of some further discussion.
Or an old guy like me.
So, and did you catch mine as well then? We'll just, instead of having.
Wasco.
Yeah, Wasco, we'll just talk about under updates. Please.
I don't know about that.
No, it came out late yesterday.
Can you talk to Stuart about that one?
So, I guess, are we ready to move into action items?
Yes.
Stefan Desper's tools.
And then, Lisa, the first action item was the McNary fogs. We talked a little bit about that at the last meeting. Lisa was good enough to update a figure that'll go into the fish passage plan that'll show which ones are open and closed. Bobby's on the phone. Do you want to give an update on the maintenance status of the three fogs that have been out this past year, Bobby?
Oh, I'll do the best I can. We've got one we're about to wrap up. They're getting the rollers on, et cetera. The other two, I believe, were sandblasted on Bonneville. I was told they spent 40 man hours, three people down there sandblasting and cleaning them for us. I can't tell you if they're back yet or not. But we're hopeful to have all three ready and installed with the winter outage. As far as how we're going to rotate them, I was told yesterday that we're actually going to remove three more and put the rehabilitated ones into the slots of the three we removed. So the three orifices that are currently closed with bulkheads will remain closed with bulkheads. They want to rotate through that way.
Which ones are those?
So I had that information at the last meeting, Bobby, mm-hmm. and I don't think I brought it along. Gary's asking which are those three fogs that were removed last year that will stay removed this year, the locations?
Yeah, give me a sec to look it up.
That's a little different than what we were talking about earlier.
It is. Yep, we were talking about taking three more new ones out.
doing the ones in order of
so
severity.
These were the three worst. And
but now we're talking, you know, that was a sense of doing the worst ones first. Now it's, you know, maybe we need to think about which ones are used most.
Well,
if we're going to leave the same ones out.
I can't find my notes on it, but I believe it was 2, 8, and 14. I might be off on that. I know I got notes on it, and I don't trust my memory very well, but I believe it was, here it is. It was 3, 4, and 14 are the ones with the bulkheads in place.
So, Bobby, do you have any sense as to which of those are most used?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Mr. Coleman asked that question, and we've been going looking and looking through data and talking to people, and we actually are looking back to the last core report back in 1988, but we haven't found a copy of it yet to find out what the use rate is. The data from University of Idaho is actually approach data, but that's not actual use data.
Right.
Just because a fish approached the entrance doesn't mean it used it.
Okay, yeah, let's keep looking, see if we can figure out what. I know that at least at John Day, the entrances closest to the main entrance, or the fogs closest to the main entrances were the ones most used. But I don't know that that's the case for McNary.
By the way they're set up, I would assume that's true, but we haven't found the data yet to show that that's true.
Okay.
I was suggesting to them the next ones I guess we're going to end up, this new swap was just told to me yesterday. I would suggest they put the rehabilitated ones in number one, the most southern one, and then the two most northern ones, because under the assumption that they use the northern southern ones the most, but I don't know that for sure.
Right, I would assume the same thing, but that sounds like a decent plan until we know anything other, I guess.
So maybe you can see if you can facilitate that and come back to the next FPOM and give an update, Bobby?
I'm going to be leaving at 9:30 to ask all these questions at the maintenance meeting, because it's the only time I can get people together one time and ask these kind of questions.
Okay, so go ahead, and I mean, you can go back and forth with me. I can't remember. Are you out on medical in January?
Oh, you found it.
No, not yet.
Okay, so let's plan that you need to call back in for the January meeting, too.
Yeah, let's try to replace the ones closest to the main entrances like you're doing to the extent that we can, unless we learn something different.
I think they come up with this other rotation plan because I think it'll be quicker and it'll save them some time. And I think that's why they want to do it this way.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's we might want to do a little more thinking about that then.
Well, understood. I know this is sort of out of the blue and it may change today, but I'll try to ask them.
Okay.
So just pose it as the recommendation. Recall that Carl went out about this time last year and they were going to be put back in, we thought, in season. It's now been a year. I know that you've probably worked out the bugs of getting them sandblasted at Bonneville, but, ask some questions, see if they think they're going to be able to do this in 2 or 3 months when they take them out rather than another full year. That might help your scenario.
Yeah, I'll try to find out.
Okay.
Okay. I think we're probably ready to move on.
What's that?
One, towns you're on to talk. We had an additional question at the last meeting about the scroll case temperature monitoring that we had talked about back in October, and I suggested that we wait till you could be on the phone, towns, to give another update. So do you want to give a brief on kind of where we left it in October and in your path forward, so just to bring people back up to speed, and then we'll see if we have any further comments.
Sure. So, again, we do have a thermometer in the cooling water line on Unit 1 right now. That was the closest location to monitor the temperature that folks were looking for. It's not a great thermometer. Again, it's just an alcohol thermometer, so we have no ability to record other than going down there manually, which has been kind of a challenge with having enough employees to look at this regularly. So the plan was to replace this with a digital thermometer that has an ability to log temperatures, and then we would go through during our regular weekly inspections, download those temperature logs and provide them to whoever needs them. That plan's been put forward. It was in the tech section's hands to acquire this. I spoke to folks this week. Unfortunately, we're also having some staffing complications in our tech section as well. We're down to just two engineers right now. So you can imagine they're pretty busy, but I did speak with them, both of the engineers this week. They are tracking it in their acquisition planning, and they have me convinced that it will be installed this winter, and I don't think it's going to be a big issue. The funding, it looks like it's starting to fall in place, and this is not a big ticket item either, so that's kind of where we stand. We'll move forward with getting a digital thermometer put into that line where we could submit log temperatures and provide those to whoever needs them.
Okay. Did anybody have any? This was, for some reason, I think, I don't know whether it was caught in the notes or not, it just wasn't clear to folks, just the ability to log over time. I think what we talked about at the last meeting was we knew you were going to try to replace with a digital, that you would pick that up as you did the fishway inspections weekly, and that you'd be reporting in the weekly, but that then this other data is available if needed if we got into a portion of the year where there was a lot of interest for specific days.
That's correct. And what we've been reporting right now, we are reporting the temperature with the alcohol thermometer right now in our weeklies, but we'll be able to provide more if it's logged hourly or something to that effect, we can always provide more temperature data with this digital one.
And we might talk with FPC, they would be probably, we need to confer with them, but they'd probably be willing if he could just send them like their download weekly and they can be the archiver of it. So that way they don't, the project isn't responsible having to keep the archive. That makes it, I think that would hopefully make it easier for you guys. And that way we're not madly when we end season like calling up, like, hey, we need the last 2 weeks. And
yeah, that might make it a lot easier because we don't have any way to put stuff out on the web very readily either. So.
Okay. Cool means.
Right.
Because I know the FTC is.
So that's something that maybe, I don't know that you have any smoke monitoring staff on site over the winter there, towns, but when we get going in the spring, it'd be something to talk about. I think we're going to have a couple projects where there's going to be maybe some things to talk about.
Okay.
To give me hot this
one. No problem.
It's hard to tell with the weather out now, but I think if you look at long-term forecasts, it's not particularly.
Still hard to tell.
It's still hard to tell.
They're still guessing. Farmer's Almanac right now is beating out everybody else. So.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, way to go.
I didn't say who.
Now we better understand why USDA's lobby is always stronger than Fisher's.
Exactly.
Yeah, they have the magic book.
Somewhere.
Ben Franklin. Okay. So Joe Skalicki, is he here? Are you on the phone, Joe? Okay. I suspected that he might not. I did actually look into calling Dorchak Fish Hatchery as well. Well, I went to our engineering staff, and they called the hatchery. And what they had a dissolved gas sample spreadsheet, which I haven't forwarded or anything because I was expecting – I wanted to give Joe the opportunity here. But basically the bottom line – was like if they stay below 110 TDG, the vacuum degasser will keep the dissolved nitrogen gas at or below 103% limit. So that was, note, the vacuum degassers can keep the TDG limit of 110% even when the river is at 116%.
So the river can be 116.
And you can still be at 110.
Which gets into 103, okay.
No. If you stay at 110 in the river, they're 103 in the facility.
Oh, okay.
If you're at 116 in the river, you're 110 in the facility.
So does that cause mortality at the depth that they're?
Well, I think that's a problem for fish. So one of the reasons that the funding for these degassers went in was stress-related impacts on survival for the hatchery fish. So I think it's worthy of more discussion to better understand and bring in some more expertise from the hatchery.
Do they have both sets finished now?
Yes.
Okay. And what is it at 120? What's
it at? Well, we'd have to. I don't know that they did any testing at 120. Okay. So.
Seems like an obvious question.
Yeah.
Well, we may be down a turbine this next year, so there's a chance we'll.
So is that that's third hand?
It went as door
message.
So that came, it is third hand. It came from the hatchery. Adam Izbicki is one of the assistant hatchery managers now out there. He is the guy that after they put in the second row of degassers this summer, they apparently did some testing. But obviously their testing was limited to kind of the conditions at the time they were doing it.
It was opportunistic testing, so okay, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, for them, the whole way was to have a buffer so that operations had as little impact as possible on what they're trying to do there. But as you can see, it still looks like we're getting up fairly high. And I think 110% in the facility is pretty high for the whole rationale of why we put these in the first place.
What was the temperature when they did, what month they do it?
Scott, let's get more information. Yes. Obviously, yeah. I only brought three sentences.
Right. It matters by the month. Well, your temperature is a huge factor in that.
So we can, actually, if we want, for the next meeting, I can maybe try to invite Adam out at the hatchery to call in.
That'd be great.
We'll grill.
Okay. So I think that's it for our updates.
We may be asking that early this spring.
All right, so most of the Portland action items have been completed. One that's still somewhat outstanding is the unit priority for Powerhouse 1 when the main unit breaker is out of service. I know Gary had concerns about us just going to the unit priority that's in the FPP. I don't know that we have established an alternate unit priority yet, though.
No, I think that's a committee discussion that needs to happen.
Is this a repair or a one-time thing, or when it happens?
type of thing.
This is for the replacement.
Okay. So I would do it one time for now. I mean,
yep. Okay.
It's going to have to be a dry lab sort of approach, so I don't know how.
Well, given that the model has bulldozed.
So
we could build it in Wisconsin.
That'd be okay, or maybe build it at Bonneville. There's here, there's area out there that
might have space.
We got flowing water.
Yeah. You've got a great drain. Your drain there is
flowing
awesome.
Water. You'd have space available.
It can drain water well.
So what month? When is this scheduled to occur? What's the date?
March.
Just March, the whole month of March. Or?
March, and we're supposed to be done in the middle of April.
Yeah, I guess what I'm concerned about is a netty setting up that would mask the north entrance, the powerhouse. So that's my concern. 6465 gates would get a reverse eddy if we were running the way the fish passive plan would have us run. So the idea would be possibly to pull all the unit flow over to the south side where you have also the sluiceway running, which would help benefit sluiceway egress conditions and entrance conditions in the forebay. So it seems that there's lots of things that would suggest that's the right way to go, but I'm always leery of dry lab sort of approach, and having Lori Ebner in the room to have that discussion would be a really good idea.
Or at least get her input on it.
Yeah.
So you're talking units 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, stack
like
it that way.
Yeah.
Because we have to look on the outage file. There might be an outage on 1, 2.
Yeah, that'll have to be the thing, too. So what's the...
There wasn't supposed to be.
There's something kicking around in my head about...
Do you have the outage file in front of you by any chance?
I don't have it open, but I can look. I think I looked at this before, though. I don't think there's anything that... Okay, the only outage was one unit of powerhouse, too.
Yeah, I thought there was something that got delayed and it was kicking in for that period.
All right, so...
Could be wrong.
The key, I think, and one thing I did mention, I think, in my correspondence on this would be to try something and go out and look at it.
Yeah.
And we don't have a model, but we do have a prototype that we can look at pretty easily. So,
for a prototype scale.
We have a giant model.
What's that?
We have one.
The giant model.
One-to-one scale.
It is a
scale.
And it's pretty easy to do.
It's called Dyes reality. Tougher, huh?
Put it yeah. In. Yeah. But we could.
Yes.
How many units are running at Powerhouse 1 right now?
How many of 1 right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. Today, actually, again, I can pull that up in a sec.
It's fine.
Since it's not our priority powerhouse right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's anything running over there at the moment.
So, if there's nothing running over there currently, do you want to force something to run over there to do your test?
Tammy, there will be. The flows are averaging 160, and so we were artificially holding it down for the jump survey today that isn't happening. So,
well, the surveys are happening, but they can't see anything.
No, well, no, they're not there yet. they went down to 205, so they're not there. But anyway, so we artificially held down for the moment, but it's going to come back up.
Okay.
Could be enough minutes.
Yeah, it doesn't look like anything's over there right now.
If there's too many, we'll just spill.
Total room is only 108.
For the moment, we're refilling what we emptied to take care of the test.
Yeah.
All right, so at some point we'll coordinate going out there and messing with the units. So Gary can have his model in.
Cold to stay in January.
Did Doug cancel that?
He did. They just canceled it. When do you want to go look? Tomorrow? Next day? I mean, when are you going to be out there? The flows are going to be up for the rest of the
morning. That's it. That makes it more exciting.
Yeah, I mean, the flows will be up for the next couple of days.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not
Well, they'll be up through the end of the year. I mean, you have time.
No.
Okay.
You want to look around?
If we get more rainstorm, we'll have water for a while. Yeah. It's going to be depending on what conditions. I mean, we've got probably next year.
Yeah, I can't imagine we couldn't do this in January.
Likely,
we could do it. So let's get it set up when people can actually be there. Tomorrow's going to be too short notice.
We should have a January FCOM meeting
at
Bonneville.
That'd be okay.
With oranges.
I'll bring smoked salmon and some drink about a box of oranges.
Yeah, throw them in the water to float.
Neither just floats.
Hey, Ben, can you see if the auditorium's available for the January FCOM meeting?
Sure. And I don't see any Unit 1 outages scheduled for that time frame.
Good. Thanks.
Gary, can I see some pumpkins?
Yeah, we're all right.
We'll have, you know, our normal, like, rolling outages for trash raking and stuff, but nothing unit specific.
Okay. All right, so that brings us to updates. Unless there's any other questions about our completed actions. No? Great. Moving on.
Updates. Okay, so I passed out another, it was cool. With your agenda, FPOM updated schedule. I think the only thing that I changed from last month was the Unit 1 at Lower Granite. The bridge crane work has not been completed. I did have a brief discussion with Bill as this was evolving, I think a little bit before the AFEP meeting, so there was some awareness. At this point, that is pushing it out till probably January of the next year. We're pretty optimistic that they will be able to start work in March. The contract has been awarded. They had to just put a stall order on the folks that were supposed to start in January and say you can't come on site and start because these other guys aren't out of here yet. So anyway, that's my update on the schedule.
So stall order.
Well, that's not a core official acronym of a stall order. It's something else.
So if they don't start in March, where does that put the tentative estimated completion date?
It pushes it out through next January. So it's the same time frame. So
it is almost a full year.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Someone was throwing around there's only going to be 6 months, and I'm saying.
Right? Oh, no. No, they might get done a little earlier, but when I talked, so I talked to the project manager before I put this schedule on the FPOM outages, and he basically just said move it over 2 months. And at this point, I think, you know, my biggest concern was that they tried to get it back before March or the end of March the following year. Like I said, I'm pretty optimistic. You know, they're pushing hard on these guys. It's the same contractor that was a little goose, so they have some idea of capabilities and where they have problems. There's been a lot of problems with some of the materials that they were installing. As they'd go to do it, they would have errors or have tolerances that caused errors and fouled the equipment so it was no longer usable, and they'd have to repair that with those pieces.
You're really adding a lot of confidence to us all right now.
And I'm trying to say this in a nice manner.
I know, you put it as nice as you possibly can.
It's equally frustrating, I think, for everyone. But there's been some problems. It appears that we're doing better than Little Goose. So, you know, this is second time around for the same contractor doing roughly the same work. Some different issues as they've been working on Lower Granite, and people are staying on them. People were feeling, when I spoke with folks last Friday and or this Monday, feeling pretty comfortable still with this schedule. So,
yeah. I mean, honestly, we've got all kinds of time to float there. Really, you know, one's going to be more important coming out of June.
Yep. So I think, we're looking good. And LOMO is still on target to go out in January. Okay. So that one is definitely a full year because there was more work to go on. So that will be out for the full year. And then it's followed immediately by the Unit 2 cavitation repair. Dorshak Unit 3 overhaul is going to be coming along. At this point, there's still, it's kind of a August 1, some testing, and I think the on-site work actually starts September 1.
Oh, okay, you did push back.
So right now, that's where we're headed there.
And then I guess one thing on the Dorshak, I mean, there's going to be some sort of, I mean, Scott's well aware of this too, but by taking that out, you're going to really limit the amount of flow left Dorshak.
And I asked Steve Hall after the last meeting if he could come to the January FPOM, because I think we discussed it might be prudent to have the water manager. So I haven't heard, and I walked down and talked to him. He is back in the office, okay. And he's just been, I think he'd been busy with you guys at TMT or something. So he agreed and put it on his calendar. Cool. He said he would come to the meeting as well. So
at Bonneville?
He's going to be at wherever we have our January FPOM.
That's probably the first idea to have that at Bonneville next month.
Sound better and better?
Yeah. Let's not do that. Let's have a separate trip out there to do the modeling work. Lori's up for at least 2 weeks, so she needs to talk about
She needs to look at an option, some options. We need at least three different options, I think, to test the existing, what would happen if we have the outage with the current plan, and then a couple of alternatives. So let's set those up and go out there. But having the meeting out there is all fine and good, except the people getting to Bonneville might not be.
It's only January. It's only January.
Right.
Who knows what could be out there?
So, I mean, it's closer for me. I would love it. But
yes,
I'll drive anywhere.
For the rest of you.
In closing, with the F-bomb outage, there's one other thing that was discussed at the Fitterwig that there's an MOC out on for at least another week or two, and that's the 1 month earlier shutdown for the primary outfall. So that's kind of a ways out, but they are requesting a November shutdown rather than December, and so there's an MOC out. You have at least a week or two if you need more time. Obviously, there's a really long lead time, so when they should have both gone out for 2 weeks, so feel free to give us comments, and then we can have some further discussion at the next meeting.
Are you at Granite?
Yeah, I jumped back to Granite.
And then that's the day we're just trying to get that into the plans and specs. That's why we're doing it now versus later.
So you'll go to the emergency bypass versus the primary?
This is for the construction of the new primary bypass. So this is essentially the same outage period we asked for Lomo and McNary, to my understanding, to start in the middle of November. And caveat being there that I think Tom pointed out at Fitterwig last 2 weeks, is we may likely have to reapproach the RSW operations that folks had tentatively asked for that through the December 15th time period. Likely a contractor, if they actually want to use the November time frame, we'll have to not have RSW spill going on, just can't have a barge in there drilling during active spill operations.
So, but you'd still be okay with flat spill?
We need to talk about that. I think Stan and folks are going to talk more about that in-house. I'm not sure. Not knowledgeable enough on.
Okay.
Because the way their MOC is written now, it says if you can't run the RSW, you put that flow through the powerhouse, and that's not going to be.
Yeah, I was wanting feedback. It seemed like last week folks were okay with maybe ending spill November 15th if necessary, but provide us comments if that's too conservative on our end.
Yeah, we can't give that right now.
I can't quite be willing to give an extra 2 weeks. I would say one, just make sure, check to see if flat spill is an option. It may not be. Likely going to be challenging.
It's going to be low flow.
Yeah.
It's not a flow issue. It's usually when they park a barge in the tail race, they don't let you run spill.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm reacting to. It's not a.
Right.
Oh, I know.
You're just stuck. So it depends if the barge can be moved or you can have a couple hours spill. Sometimes we worked around it by having them physically move it, which is more expensive and time consuming. It adds.
Well, the spill is only
the trade-offs.
So.
I think establish some of the fish trade-offs of what we normally have at that time period, adult-wise primarily.
Well, there's October. There's quite a few juveniles going through in October. So,
well, she talked November.
This is November.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mid-November.
So November's after we have any juvenile data, because we always shut down the facility October 30th. Okay.
Compensation basically for adult.
We don't know, although historically we know that when we didn't have a spill program, we had a lot of juveniles still moving. When we had just a nighttime spill, we had a lot of juveniles that would still be moving in October that we collected that were in and or the SARs were really good. So a turbine operation that late wasn't necessarily a problem because those were the uninterrogated fish that nobody could figure out, I don't know. That's my take. Obviously, I spent some time out there, and you may or may not agree with what I'm saying. I'm just giving you some background from my perspective.
Would we be able to modify the operation if there was a concern from the contractor regarding tail race eddies or hydraulics? Could we just do whatever we want to unit operations? Would that be a problem?
What was the question?
Can we just do whatever we want to unit operations if the contractor in the tail race has a problem with tail race hydraulic conditions? The typical big hunk of floating stuff usually moves around.
Well, yeah, if you're trying to run RSW and you think you can counteract it with turbine operations, that definitely is something that we'd consider.
We're going to have to coordinate, Doug,
yeah,
I think.
Let's work on this more, because a lot of times you can't do these two things together.
That's what, that was the main question we had at Fitterway. It was like, what are our limitations going
to
be? And
somebody from the project needs to be weighing in on this, so Elizabeth and Rich need to be talked to about this, Dave, before we have further discussions as well, just what the project's going to allow a contractor to do.
This is the beer.
Yeah, fair enough. No.
And Dave, I would, I wouldn't really say call it quote unquote flat pattern, because for an adult standpoint, you don't want to have like 6-inch openings all the way across.
Right.
That's not really going to get what you want. It's going to be kind of more of maybe the using the Hevlin term, the modified bulk or something like that.
Well, something that's going to pass adults safely, but also not have an issue with your barge.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's going to be a compromise.
There you go. So it's going to be probably, it might be something we haven't really done before, so it might be kind of. Might be dry.
First hurdle of those, can you have spill and the barge?
That's the first one.
So let's get that answered.
Okay, so we will try to have some more discussion on that at the January FPOM.
Another thing is that we're going to Erdic probably in, I think in March or February, somewhere in there, with Ryan Lowry to look at Ice Harbor. So, you know, we could take a look at Granite possibly.
Mm-hmm. So did you hear that, Dave?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, we're going to, when you get back, have some more internal discussions on this. I have a better sense on some folks' concerns, and get Ryan and Stan and Rich and folks all better engaged.
Okay, so I think we're probably ready to move on to the next item, which is the Wasco crane failure update. So I don't know whether Bobby or Rick wants to lead this.
I don't know if Bobby's still on, but I can go ahead and run through this and open it up for discussion if you like.
That'd be great. Thanks, Rick.
I'm still on, but I'm going to let Rick lead it. He knows better what Wasco needs to do than I do, but I'm here just in case there's some questions about the ladder.
Okay, great. So as you know, Wasco and Klickitat County PUDs are doing a major overhaul to their turbine on the Washington Shore McNary Dam. And while picking the shaft and a couple other components, they had a major crane failure that dropped the load about 18 inches or so, made quite a bit of damage, and the consequence most impacting us is the delay in the process. Bob is the manager, Bob Gittinger, is estimating a three-month delay, but honestly, when I've talked to him most recently, he said anywhere from 2 to 5 months. So that could put the commissioning process of that unit, when they bring it back online, right into the primary fish passage season. So we just wanted to give you an update on that and see what concerns you have. Bob is more than willing and basically planning to do the commissioning work at night. But Bobby pointed out to me that they've had some pretty significant sockeye passage at night in June. And early July, so I was looking at that, and yeah, there's quite a bit of fish passage, sockeye specifically. So that's kind of where we're at. It's a significant delay, and looks like there's going to be some impact to fish passage. The plan for the commissioning is basically the same in terms of disruptions to the flow at the entrance of that ladder, albeit they may be a couple more days added to do some additional testing of the repairs that they've made. So if you recall, the commissioning process was originally outlined to be for 2 days with 4 or 5 occurrences of adjustments to the ladder auxiliary flows. And it'll be the same, but there may be a couple additional days of that temporary. And Bob estimates less than 15-minute disruptions to the criteria flow to the ladder entrance. So that's kind of where we're at. If you have any questions, try and see what I can do about answering them.
Hey, Rick, it's Gary. I did have questions that I sent in to you and others coordination. And I think the main thing is to define exactly what the effect will be on the ladder system. And that coordination, it had talked about the ladder, and then it talked about the entrances. I know that those are different flow sources. I mean, the upper ladder is probably all gravity, and then as you go down, you've got different diffusers. So exactly what are the effects? And that needs to be defined, I think, not only what, but where in the ladder system, and then for how long. So more clarity, I guess, would help us on this, I think. And I mean, if it's if we're talking something like a couple of CFS, a few CFS, you know, 100 CFS, whatever effect at the entrance for 15 minutes after 8 o'clock at night, I guess I don't have a problem with it, sockeye or no sockeye. But if it's a lot more than that, or if you're talking about shutting the entrance all the way down, or, you know, it just really wasn't well explained in the coordination. So I just, it's hard to judge the effect on passage without more information.
And I think the way you described it is pretty close to what they're expecting to do. They, the way Bob described it to me, they would run the turbine roughly at half capacity. So that would, you know, reduce the inflow to the ladder by what I'm guessing would be half. And then they would manually adjust the auxiliary flow bypass, open that up, apparently it's a sluice gate, I guess, and provide that additional, the missing flow, or the, you know, provide the additional flow to bring it back up to full criteria flow for the duration of that test period. And they, Bob estimates 15 minutes or so, and maybe Bobby can speak to it, because it would have to be a, it's a manual operation in coordination with the core, because the PUD does not manage the differentials at that ladder.
It's I don't see us needing to take the time today to do this. What I'm asking is you guys go back and rewrite that coordination with more detail on the effect, because I'm still struggling whether the ladder is going to be, you know, at 8 inches of flow over the weirs. What are we talking about for 15 minutes, or is there no effect in the ladder except at the lower section? At what diffuser point are we having an effect? What's the effect on the entrance in terms of head and of volume of flow, and for how long? That's what I'm looking for, and then how often. So if you answer those questions, I think we can probably resolve it, but I don't see us doing that today.
And also, the other question is going to be is, like, when are we thinking? Because, I mean, 3 months from now is quite a bit different than 5-6 months from
now. Yeah, they were talking June, July. And so, well, May, June.
Exactly.
And so that's the middle of spring Chinook.
Well, but early May, I'm going to have a lot less concerns than
exactly. Oh, you're
June.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
There's going to be, I mean, that's where it's going to be back. So, I mean, what, the fallback would be just keep it in bypass mode for longer and just not recommission the turbine until later, which I'm sure Wasco wouldn't be too giddy about. But that's why we need to get this effects thing and find out a better idea of what this is going to be. Because, I mean, right now you can still run this in bypass mode if I understand it correctly, and that's part of the reason why they put the bypass mode in there.
Yeah, so that's something Bobby could probably, I mean, you're still on, aren't you, Bobby?
Yeah, I'm still on.
So why don't you talk about, because this is similar to what we did when they were taking it out, and I don't think that people have a clear understanding, and this will have to be followed through with the MOC, but why don't you give just a broad outline of the areas impacted when the inflow coming in from the forward bay is interrupted for the types of operations that Wasco is suggesting, so people have that just as background. So, you know, your diffusers that are impacted, where they're located in the ladder, and what that does to fish passage criteria.
All right, I'll give it my best shot. I think what I'd like to see before I start is maybe like a table that shows a rough dates and times and how Bob's going to do this. Might be helpful, Rick. Might be understanding on the understanding of how long and what's he doing. The water coming down the ladder will not be affected at all. That won't have any effect there. What playing with the auxiliary water will do will affect all our diffusers, which start just downstream of the bend, the sharp bend in the ladder, at diffusers 12 all the way to the pool. And it depends on how Bob gets this switch and swap how much flow we're going to lose or not lose. I mean, manually, it's not going to be an instantaneous switch. But basically, what it's going to do is going to affect our pool differential. If I have the ladder shut down, the pool is just going to be at tailwater, whatever the tailwater is. So if I'm bouncing my auxiliary water up and down a little bit, it's going to affect that attraction water, that pool differential. How much? Boy, that's a hard thing to say because I'm not sure how long it's going to take Bob to make these little adjustments. But when we talk bypass, it's just bypassing the auxiliary water. It has nothing to do with fish or anything. There probably should be a better term used. That's just what we used for a long time.
Yeah, I understand.
So, anyway, just how far the unit comes down, how long it takes to raise that manually, if that's about 15 minutes, but the unit's still at 50% and the bypass is coming in, if I understand what Bob's trying to do, our pool differential will drop, but it'll still be there, it sounds like. It doesn't sound like we're going to lose auxiliary water totally, but we're obviously going to have little dips and bounces. The question is, for sure, how long these little dips and bounces are going to be.
Yeah, Bobby, it sounds like you can, your auxiliary, your bypass flow, or auxiliary bypass, or whatever you want to call it, could supply sufficient flow to run the entrances. And run all the fuses.
The system's in bypass right now, and the ladders and criteria are just super duper. I mean, there's no problem. It's in criteria. So, we have no problem with bypassing auxiliary water. And even when we do a standard switch, there's probably a slight little burp there where the differential's affected. I've never stood there and measured it. But nothing's instantaneous.
I understand.
I think what Bob's doing will probably be okay, but I imagine the differential's going to drop some. But if I'm understanding right, we're going to keep auxiliary flow going. It's just as we drop the turbine unit and bring up the bypass, what kind of burp and differential are we going to have?
It's going to be a blending issue, sounds like, blending two different sources.
How long will the differential drop below, if at all, drop below 1 foot before it comes back up?
Right, exactly. Okay, yeah, if we can get some idea of that, that's likely. It sounds to me like a pretty minor effect on the overall ladder, and probably not a problem, even though we do have sockeye passage at night to some degree. It's a lot less than the day. Probably not a huge issue.
And Bob sent me an email this morning saying that his first description of it was sort of like worst case scenario. He's actually said he's working on another description of it to make it to where he thinks it's not going to be that big of an effect.
Okay, we'll wait and see that before we say anything else about it. Rick,
I would sort of like to sort of see it in table form, like you mentioned. I think that would be helpful.
I agree with
at least
that.
For me, anyway.
Yeah, me too, Bobby. I agree. So there you go, Rick.
So, we'll work to revise the MOC and resubmit it. We've got some time. We can talk about it in the next minute. Yes, Tom.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
I think we're done, Tammy, with Walla Walla.
All right. So for Portland, updated winter maintenance schedules are available online for those of you that are interested. Ben, do you want to give just the updates on your coordination forms? T11 and T12, and then the Cascades Island fish valve repair.
Yeah, I know. I said that myself.
Or not.
Was that for me, Tammy?
Yes.
Sorry, I missed it.
We're on updates, so if you want to update your coordination forms that are listed there, Bono 2, Bono 6.
Right. So T11 came back on December 4. That's all complete. T12, nothing changed. Scheduled for the same time next year. Fish valve repair, those are both complete.
Good.
I can't remember when... what day Cascades Island came back, but it's running properly in criteria now.
I just said the 25th of November.
There you go. I believe her.
It's in the weekly report.
So.
And then main brake replacement, same, you know, that MOC short of the unit priority, I think, is complete, as far as I know. And, you know, they're still on schedule, supposedly. It's kind of one of those that slip so much, it's kind of a believe it when I see it sort of thing. But they're promising that they will throw whatever at it to meet that April 15th deadline. The nature of that work is you can't really throw more people at it per se because it's a confined area to try and do the work, but they'll do 24/7 work if need be to hit that date is what I'm told.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Sure.
Ben, this is Tom. Did you guys ever run the ground why we had problems with four bay ladder issues when we were doing the fish valve work and that kind of stuff? Why we had to...
Did we ever hear about the flooding? That? It's the flooding of the Wash Ashore ladder at higher four bays.
Mm-hmm. Did that ever get run to ground, or are you guys kind of just like going to hope you never have to do this again? And
yeah, I mean, I think yes and no. I think we are going to hope that we never have to do it again. And I don't, you know, there's no further water input that's coming into there besides the four bay, so...
Yeah,
I know that's hard to fathom that's the way it was designed, but there is a bleed-off valve that I operated that no one here has apparently seen operated right at the UMT. It's a Weir 68 bleed-off, and it's straight across from the UMT, and I can't help but think that bleed-off was meant to function when the UMT was closed.
Yeah. Have you talked to Schlinker about this, Steve? Schlinker?
I have not, but I've operated it, and it can certainly... drop the water a whole bunch.
Yeah.
What it does, unfortunately, though, is change, you know, conditions near the count window.
In that, yeah, okay.
Where you're going to certainly have more velocity and that kind of thing. We can, you know, we were able to give a foot back to BPA in the four bay by operating that valve, and I only had it open a foot. It opens much further.
Okay.
My fear was that we were going to have some velocity issues at the count station, and then potentially, I don't know if we're going to, it's much like 37 bleed off down below where, you know, we clog that thing and suck a bunch of dead shad on it every year.
Yep.
I don't know that we would suck a healthy live fish onto it, but, you know, things like what's it going to be like for lamprey swimming past and that kind of thing, I'm not sure it's ideal.
Yeah, it would be good to get, I mean, for the future, you never know what's going to happen. It would be good to fully understand the operation, the intent of the operation of that. I mean, what was it designed to in terms of velocity, and how does it affect the ladder, and maybe get something in the fish passage plan that when we have the UMT closed, here's how you run the project if you have a four bay of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
75, 76, 77. When you get those high levels, there, maybe you can't, but it'd be good to have that worked out.
And also,
yeah, and it was just an experiment, really. We did that and had them raise the four bay to see if we could manage it. And sure enough, you know, there's a staff gauge straight across from that valve, and boy, when that thing got opened all the way, I could just, you know, it probably dropped it a foot and a half right in front of me at the staff gauge, and that reverberated up even into the serpentine section.
Yeah, you wonder what it does to the velocities right there. I mean, what was that thing designed for?
It's noticeably different.
Yeah.
When I went in and talked to the fish counter before and after, she was like, what in the hell did you just do? But she was like, you know, historically, she said, we ran, she's been there a long time, this particular one, and she's like, we ran higher velocities here in the past. You know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. She didn't think from salmon passage, but it isn't going to do any favors for lamprey.
Some of this information might be in the Hellcrabs report, unless you guys checked.
Well,
I haven't looked, no.
It is really a VPA. I mean, it's more of an operational flexibility issue.
Yeah, because, I mean, we can make it work. It's just constrains your four bay. We're just thinking BPA might have some issues with that.
No, we're interested in having the whole four bay because it does affect the chum operation.
Yeah, it seems different times of the year, too. It may not be November. It could be, all year.
Yeah.
And I got coffee. We have a major problem, so it'd be good to know what's the limitations and.
Sure. You know, we still remember.
Because
we're getting old.
You know, all of us. This happens 10 years down the road. Hopefully Trevor will be sitting here.
Way to go, Trevor.
My kid will sit in college, so I'll be stopping.
Oh, you're still 10 years?
Yeah. 10 years, my poor guy.
John's going to be here.
Trevor, it's called the We're 68 Bleed Up. Yeah. If you want to write it down.
Got it. My
he's going to get it tattooed.
Trevor Bleed Off.
New bar, Oreo We're 68.
Yes. Cut the skin off that bag.
So I guess what I'm looking for is some action to go forward on this. Just a discussion topic in FQAM.
That's why I asked the question.
Do you want it further tested, Gary? You just want it like memorialized on the SCP or
no,
what?
No, I think it needs to be further explored, and I think that it needs to be done by the hydraulic folks at the district level. You know, I don't want to put more burden on you guys. They should, you know, this should be an assignment to those guys to look at how it was designed and what it was meant to do and how it was meant to be operated, and then maybe there'd be some testing that needs to go on out of the project, but I see this as a level that goes back to the district.
And then the fallback to FP, this will be right in the FPP, so we have the procedure down, so we're not caught a little surprised like we were this last year.
Change form for next year or whatever, year after, doesn't matter. But
yeah, it's, for what it's worth, I mean, if they dug into it, it would be pretty easy to test out here with getting velocities at the count window before and after and asking for a four-bay and...
Yeah, it'd be good if they could have some instrumentation out there and be able to look at that, especially the velocities right at the entrance to that thing. I wish I could fish up against it. Like you said, we have problems with 37 and the shad buildup, so that could happen here, too, if we had to run it during June.
Yep. Yeah, and I don't know enough about it. Like, it was literally a black hole as far as getting info from people out here. Like, I didn't know what you're talking about.
So we got it
open and surely seemed, just based on how it functioned and location, that was what it was.
Maybe Cusky knew all about it.
What's that?
Maybe Cusky knew all about it.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
You know, four or five biological changes out there. It's and the lack of need, it goes away. Yep. Okay.
So before, Ben, thank you to the crews for getting this work done.
Oh, sure. That was no problem. I did let them know that was appreciated because they got it back a little ahead of schedule.
That's great. Yeah.
And just getting on it, you know, fitting it in.
Sure.
For this and the everything in the Cascade Island platter. Good job.
We have a time frame for this to get down?
So do you have an update on the Cascades Island subsidence, Ben?
No, I don't, unfortunately. I know it's still being looked at and discussed, you know, amongst the engineers and tech staff here in downtown, but nothing has changed as far as I know.
Still subsiding?
Not dramatically. I mean, there's, I'm sure with the rain and whatnot, we have it's under snow right now, but with the rain and whatnot, I'm sure it's going somewhere.
We should have a holiday party there.
In the subsidence?
You should see tracks going across.
Turning toboggans.
Big smoggy
little bridge. The magic bars?
By the crevasse.
Okay.
That's
right. All right. Thank you, Ben.
So Tammy, what was the schedule? You guys were going to peel the asphalt back. Has that been done already, or when do you guys plan to do that?
Some of it is peeled back, Tom, like inside the building there. And, you know, they did it by the places that they thought were suspect that ended up, you know, kind of being dead ends. One was where the old lab tied back into the ladder.
Yeah.
They thought those might be a potential source, but those seemed to be
dry,
properly sealed and still intact. So I don't really know what their next step is. I mean, I know it's on folks' radar downtown, and I'm not sure if it's fallen under, I believe they've separated it out from the larger spillway work, only because that's such a big long-term project. They want to address this sooner. So there's folks looking at it and trying to figure out if they want to do a survey from the tail race, whether or not we can have folks kind of see if we have any undermining there, and they've looked at some of the older things that we had when we were looking at the spillway more regularly, because we have some hydro survey info from that area, so they're trying to compare that, and they'd like to get a new one, I think, just to look at the tail race side. Nobody seems to think that it's coming from the four bay, so it's really just what's the source and how much is undermined. They didn't have a whole lot of luck doing ground-penetrating radar last time they were here. It's just sort of inconclusive. So
I really don't know. There's talk about potentially just digging the whole area up, but then there's concern, you know, it's meant to be freestanding, was originally constructed as freestanding, but of course now, as you know, the north side of the ladder has a lot of earth behind it, and if you dig out all the supporting earth on the interior, is that an issue? So I believe engineers are looking at those kind of questions to see what our path forward is with regard to safety and
has the pit tag room has the pit tag room settled or shifted anymore?
I don't think so. I mean, Don might be able to answer that better if he's still on here, but it's we're looking at that too, and whether or not we want to just pluck that thing out of there and set it somewhere else or run the electronics into the tower or what. But I don't think it's had anything dramatically change since the discussion has started.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
This is Don Wharf. It hasn't changed since the excavation began.
Thanks, Don.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so Eric, do you have an update on John Day North?
Yeah, currently the contractor's on site right now doing some diagnostic testing on six pumps. So hopefully by next week or the week after, we should get those results back and see where we're at going forward from there. I haven't heard anything initially one way or the other, so.
Remind me, is it pump 5 or 4? I can't remember which one you're having to redo the shaft on. When is that going to work at the start?
That's 3 and 4 are the ones that were down. 1, 2, 5, and 6 were running all year during the fish passing season. We did have some initial findings on pump 3 that were, I don't really want to speculate, but they said it was encouraging. Like, but pump 4.
Yeah, I can't remember. And that shaft is, when is that scheduled to be replaced?
The contract stipulated that all six pumps were supposed to be in running order by May 1st, 2016.
Okay. I guess they're going to be on this pretty quick, Mike.
Not only running, but running, and then they'll be rebuilt.
Yeah.
And then.
Okay. All right. So, John, that brings us to any Fitterwick updates.
The B2FGE DDR is out for review. Mm-hmm. Comments are due on the 23rd next week. We had a call scheduled. Well, I wanted to get you guys to get it done before Christmas.
Thanks for the lump of coal, by the way, Scrooge.
Fat chance.
So, we had a call scheduled for January 12th in the afternoon, and we can make that a face-to-face if necessary, although I can't get the Block 300.
I can get your
room. Okay, so we'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. January 3rd?
Yes.
January 12th was the special fitter week for B2FGE.
For you, it's the 3rd. For us, it's
Lava. Okay, thanks
a lot.
We might
be able to get room, too.
But December 23rd is the due date for comments.
Nice. Is
that it? That's it, unless anybody has any questions.
Any comments?
No, you've got comments.
Yeah, but not between now and
23rd.
Do you
What's
need
the
more
23rd?
Time?
Wednesday.
I'm working that day. That's what I work on. I'll get your comments. Close the business.
You won't get a half day that day, Gary. No,
24. Realistically, I could get them on the 28th, too.
don't
wow,
say
that.
Don't
say that.
January 7th.
That's what I want to do right after Christmas. Let's come in and get my FGE comments done.
On Sunday.
Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thanks for the reminder, John.
John, you know you have one tooth gone. I can go for another one.
That makes him angry.
I do have a pair of pliers.
We can take care of this.
Yeah.
Fix that crown. I'll bring you a special pretzel.
Yeah, thank
with
you.
Whiskey in it.
No.
Hey, John, what was that date? The 12th?
January 12th. That's
for the meeting.
1:30.
It's also on the calendar.
Was the scheduled call time.
If you look at the calendar year 16.
Speaking of calendars, when are you guys moving your website?
Oh, thanks. That just reminds me. We'll talk about that at the
FPP.
We'll talk about
that. Actually, this is RCC update, so this is we'll talk about it now. Okay, so as you shouldn't notice a difference at this point right now. There's still a lot of unknowns on our end, which is frustrating. But so there could be a point where in January where you go to the TMT website and it's just restructured in that new format. So the Portland District websites are already sort of that formatted, streamlined, not streamlined, but formatted, standardized organization. So it'll all be, the same information will be there, it'll just be organized differently. No one has contacted us in terms of how to organize it, so I'm hoping it's just going to be, you know, meetings and agendas will be under, I don't know, it's going to be interesting.
You're selling as well.
We're going to redo it, but we're not sure.
It's been too
we're not doing it.
We have a new standardized process, but we don't know how
this is. This is even the core. This is like the permanent offense.
You said earlier that you don't even know who's responsible for
it.
Yeah. Send in your thoughts about what one side really thinks you might like to see. It's not a possibility.
Oh, yeah, it's not even, oh, it's not, yeah. So what we're actually exploring is at some point moving it to a different non-Department of Defense website so that we can have the flexibility to manage it a little bit more. And but at this point, just, I mean, so this has already happened, just so you know. This has already happened to all the Portland District websites. It's already happened to all the Walla Walla District websites. So if you're going to either of those, you've already seen the format. It's not going to be a huge change in that regard. All the data will still be there. So this doesn't impact any of the data. If you've got any of those, like, on hourly ops, those are all still going to be at the same website. So those, so you won't see any change as far as that. She's going to be reorganized.
A front end sort of change.
Yeah.
So the fish passage plan page, is that?
It'll
or not the fat, not the plan, but the FPOM page, is that changing? And
yes.
Apparently, yes. So but we are looking to move it off the core server. So once we're able to do that, then it will look different again.
Worrying about what. Where we're, you know, I mean, I don't save that information because it's there. So
yeah, it will still be available. I will still make sure we always have that information. If for some reason it's not on the website when they reformat it, I have.
Yeah, we've backed it up multiple times.
It'll be on Tammy's hard drive.
Until that crashes.
Yeah. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Multiple hard drives.
You remember how much you loved that one.
No, it'll all still be there. It just might be organized in a way you sort of have to hunt and peck for stuff.
Just make sure the hour data and then the historical.
But the ultimate goal still is to have it as something separate that we can manage that's user-friendly for the groups that actually need that information.
And the data, the hourly data that you're referring to, that's all comes through our water control data system. That's not changing. This is only impacting public websites that is the data that that's uploaded from the satellites. It's not considered. It's available to the public, but it goes through a different channel. So this isn't going to affect our data.
Still works, so we should maybe save those links.
Yeah, go through and bookmark the links that you love, awesome, that you use frequently. And like I said, it could happen January 1st. Pop your champagne, click on the TMT website, and see what it looks like.
That's what I'm going to do.
You can see how exciting your life is.
Refresh.
I
can't wait.
Forget the champagne. Enjoy the whiskey.
Yeah. The East Coast term.
Oh, that's right. Exactly. Who knows what time they're on. But
the server is.
But it might not even be an issue. We might still have that lovely little hand with the fish on and the people and the teardrops and all that.
That was so cool.
That was the best graphic ever.
I'm going to make t-shirts out of it before it goes away because we're all going to be pretty sad. Another tattoo idea. So that's the update. Just stay tuned. And just so you know, I mean, as soon as we see anything change, we'll send out an email. You know, we'll do a little bit of digging around just to see if there's any issues. But we'll send out an email with just a heads up that this has happened and this is where you need to go and look. But it's just going to look all the same as all the Portland District websites.
So when we made the change at Portland District, though, I mean, stuff moved, right? People's bookmarks and links didn't work anymore, and they weren't being forwarded to the new stuff. That was the big issue we ran into.
Yeah.
So you can probably see that happening again.
Yeah, and we're working with our folks internally to set up redirects. So hopefully we'll be able to eliminate some of that because that did happen. Hopefully they've, it's been one of those.
Heads up.
Lovely government, gives government a credit.
Well, it's sort of like getting your Microsoft Windows update. You know, all the same stuff, they just move around.
Yeah.
We're following them.
Just as aggravating.
Industry.
Oh, you got Windows
10. Windows 10.
Windows 10 is the government.
Yeah, anyone really write that down.
So as soon as we know anything definitive either way, we'll definitely give everybody a heads up.
And then so the last question with that, kind of Fitterwig, there was a long push to get the research reports put somewhere. There was talk about doing that FPOM. That's obviously off the table now. Is there a plan for it, or has that just gotten pitched away, and I'm going to have to go kick Brad in the shin?
There are still some reports posted to Fitterwig, and I'm happy to post them whenever they send them to me, but I haven't received any reports for posting lately. I know Walla Walla has contacted me about getting them posted, and I told Derek that we're looking at a new website format. So if he can take all of his reports and organize them so that I would know how to post them, that would be ideal.
So, yeah, I don't think we were aware of him. I don't know that we were aware that he was contacting me. So, yeah, somebody can maybe help him with structuring. I mean, by year, doesn't that, or is it by facility? What's people's preference?
It usually was by year or facility. They usually, there's also a topic. Because, I mean, obviously transportation, where would that go?
Exactly. That's why I told him, you tell me how you organize this information.
The Dewey Decimal.
You send an email to Derek and say, Derek, why don't you ask the region and maybe we can help you out?
I'm not going to tell him how to do his job. The end product I want is how those reports should be posted. So however he goes about to decide how you get them.
Do it by year and then have a search engine that you can search keywords.
Yeah, do it by year and then work on it from there.
So it sounds like Tom's going to send him an email.
I'll
send
him an email.
Okay, so when we get closer, I'll try to help Derek. But I hear a lot of questions, which makes sense because I don't think that they're organized in how they do it. I'm sure they just have this pile and then they can put a list by year at least. And then
scan them and fax them over.
So, Rarissa, should you take this message back to Brad because there's all those old historic Portland reports that used to be organized and were easy to find at one time that are long since been disappeared into the ether that is the internet. And I don't care what you say, Google does not find all of them.
No.
Yeah, it does a good job. It does a shockingly good job.
I'm glad I downloaded
it. Yeah. We're
gone.
Okay. Maybe we organize it like eight
bypasses and studies transportation. That's what I think. And then
you do that by year. By year. Exactly.
Well, there's a lot of room for improvement with this. Once we get the website moved at some point over to a non-core server, we'll have a lot of flexibility to start doing things like this.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of room for improvement. So just there'll be further coordination in terms of what's needed and how to organize it. And if we can get it to a searchable database, that would be fantastic.
But not bringing a storm in, but if that kind of thing occurs, who are we going to call? So your contract has nothing to do with it.
Well, right now, you still have to contract the respective district if you're looking for a report from that district.
And don't contact me for AFIP reports.
Okay. Yeah, or Derek. And along the lines of what Lisa was saying, I think that Derek's group had a database of their reports they were trying to build, like a library database, so it may well be that in the future they can upload this to the site that Lisa's referring to and not have to necessarily overlap to FPOM.
Yeah, that'd be ideal for them. The kids are old enough.
Yeah,
it would be ideal. It would. Yeah.
It'd be probably ideal for everyone.
So there isn't going to be a single contact.
If they had their own database,
a mix of folks to talk to if there's a problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the nature of the problem in the district.
In general, you can contact either Lisa or me, and we can direct you to
it. Leave me alone. Go ahead.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but you might try to too.
Good.
All right, so getting to the flow for
you. Lori Garth.
Dun, dun, dun. Lori Granite yesterday came in at 25.9 KCFS forecast, 5 days out at 27, and 10 days, 24. The projected peak is 28 KCFS on December 20th. McNary and Bonneville both pretty flat over the next 10 days, no real peak to speak of. Yesterday's average in McNary, 132.3, 5 days, 125, and 10 days, 121. Bonneville yesterday, 158.6, 5-day forecast, 141, and 10-day forecast, 135. But like Scott mentioned earlier, that we do have...
What's the peak?
What's that?
What was the peak?
According to the forecast is pretty flat. I mean, it's just really nothing. So, but I don't think these are incorporating some of the new. Yeah, this is RFC, so I'm going to blame NOAA on this one. But it did look like it didn't capture all the rain coming in. And it might be just that it's so cold that a lot of it's falling as snow, and so, but, you know. Anyway.
Then you'll have a spike later when it melts.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't seem to capture the storm events that we're all feeling right now, so. And that is it for...
Yeah, so we're not looking at 13-foot tailwater elevations in probably the first of the year.
Probably. Mm-hmm. If it really does rain like it's forecasted.
Yeah. Let's keep going.
All right. Pinniped updates.
So, Pinniped updates. For the month of November, there was an average of 23 stellar sea lions in the tail race at Bonneville Dam, maximum of 41. There was one California sea lion in the forebay, which ODFMW unsuccessfully tried to trap.
The one that's been on the trap for weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Susie opened up, like, I'm out of here.
Okay, I know what you're up to.
The sleds are currently installed at Powerhouse 2, and surface observations will start the first full week in January.
Have you noticed if since the weather's turned a little less balmy, have some of the sea lions started to mosey out, or are they still hanging pretty
almost tough? The opposite of that. I mean, Bjorn's kind of latest, you know, hand-waving guess about what's going on is that the numbers increased because the weather got bad, and they moved off of Foca Rock and might have came up to Bonneville. Excellent shelter there.
Do you intend to use the modified observation protocol this year?
Yeah.
Stratify.
The effect discussion.
All right.
And then hazing of stellars.
Tower Island hazing is planned, yeah.
Then March.
I think it's March, right? Yeah.
March 1st.
Cool. No, yeah, so we'll see if we can try to prevent stellars from setting up shop there at Tower Island and becoming comfortable, and hopefully pushing down river really is about the best we can hope to do. Okay.
Where is it?
It's on one of the islands right there on Ogden. So it's the tail race area, and it's the prime haul-out spot for stellar currently. It's rip wrap. It's kind of gnarly.
You like it, but answer whatever's
there.
Lamprey updates? For Lamprey, probably one of the updates is that they're at about the 90% plans and specs for a new Lamprey structure, Bonneville, Washington Shore. It's going to tie into the existing Lamprey passive structure there, and they already did a site visit, so that's ongoing. That's due to be installed, not this in water work period, but the next.
How many units out do they need?
Excuse me?
What kind of unit operations do they need to install this thing?
Well, they'll install it with dry during the water work period.
It's an LPS. Yeah.
It's in the ladder. It's LPS. It's not.
It's totally in the ladder. Okay.
Yeah, it's in the upper part of the water control ladder.
Yeah, but there's that plate that's missing on the.
Yeah.
Right. That we had to go.
That's on the box.
That's the flume structure. Right. Right. Sure.
Yeah. But that's going to be worked on when?
Don't know what the current plan is for that.
They're still fiddly there, so they're still coming to engineering plan on how to deal with that.
Okay. Right. Because the concern was the units we're going to have on are going to form an eddy, and they won't be able to do it unless they shut the whole powerhouse down.
Which you can't do during chunk flows.
You have to talk to Sean Tackley.
Oh, you sort of can, depending on what you're trying to make.
Do we need to talk to Sean about a final count number for Bonneville? I saw that either the researchers at AFAP reported a very different number than what the high negative number that our adult fish count webpage shows, or where are we headed with that? That one's just a challenge for people that summarize year-end, you know, how we did.
Right. That's more on our side of the operations side, really. And I don't have great solutions for that, you know. I mean, ultimately, we still have the daily index. That's the longest-running tally. And that's when we start talking about mixing day and night. That's always a concern, that we maintain at least that daytime.
So did you disagree with what was presented at AFIP?
By my team?
By whomever
Darren
presented.
Darren Gallion, the big guy?
Yeah, somebody presented a count that I think was like 50 or 60,000 that's fairly different than the negative 100-some thousand
that you have. What was presented at AFIP was just the Lamprey passage structure and the flume structure.
Okay.
Yeah. And those are positive. The counter don't go backwards through the system. So. But that doesn't mean that they couldn't also be part of the recycling issue there.
Right. No good solution short term. That's your answer.
Right. No, I mean, it really comes down to trying to make sure the brushes and things are in place at the count area so that fish aren't sneaking past the count slot and then coming back down.
So just for your awareness, I know this doesn't have to be at FPON, but on an annual basis for our senior staff, I do slides for Lower Granite and Bonneville Passage just over time for the last 20 or 30 years. Having a negative number at Bonneville is not like a great story, and I don't think it's the realistic story. I mean, if it's the true story, fine, but having some number that we think is ballpark would be better than a negative 100-some thousand,
I would stick
especially when our numbers are higher at Lower Granite. So at Lower Granite, when we add in the nighttime, we have substantial, and I don't know if that's partially due to some of the research that moved 500 up above Ice Harbor to the forebay, but we have had in the last few years, as we've added in the nighttime counts, increasing numbers each year, which is why we're asking, you know, to work on having both of those transparent as well over time. But so that's the reason that I've been asking the questions and continue to ask the questions, so that I don't have a number that's below the normal graph for 2015 for Lamprey Passage at Bonneville. So I think I'm still, and I know this is, everybody else likes to have input rather than me here, I'm still looking for a number that we think is ballpark at this point, sometime fairly soon.
Well, I think that what I can do is come back with some approaches on how to adjust that count. It's all going to be very much me and whoever else sitting around saying, okay, what makes sense?
I'm fine with whatever Portland District is going to be disseminating to the world. You know, I'm not asking for special treatment, but I think that, I don't think you agree that there was no passage, that it was only negative, like adult lamprey coming
right,
down
yes,
street in the whole year.
Upriver, obviously.
Right.
It was positive. I think it's indicative, and that's the story, that is the story. It's indicative of the recycling, whoever's problem at that window. Actually, it's at both windows.
Yeah, whatever you're going to do, I guess I can work with you one-on-one. I don't need an IDX meeting here, but I just thought I'd let you know I got this time frame coming up. I'm going to have to either put nothing in, which would I can put a zero in if that's better at this point, because we don't know.
I think a question mark probably.
Good.
Is it possible to add an agenda item in order to fit well? To increase the flows in the Ice Harbor ladders to keep shad out?
Trevor, make a change for
it. Or the 1 foot velocity Trevor was mentioning would keep them out.
Oh, for shad?
Yeah.
How about infrasound? Didn't we hear that that was effective as well?
Infrasound is salmon gear infrasound.
Higher.
Yeah, but I think
shad here higher.
Here higher level.
Yep. Ultra. Maybe it's ultrasound.
I mean, we can talk about.
I think it's ultrasound.
We can talk about.
Because shad are like herring, right? And I just saw a paper the other day on herring and on use on the East Coast of ultrasound and effectiveness, actually, for guiding fish, which kind of brought it to my attention again for shad. And funny that you're bringing up shad now, because I just wrote down, are we going to have any new ops effort next year anywhere to try to control shad, specifically if we have another low flow year?
Well, there's certain ladders, like the, let's see, it's the Lomo South ladder. That there'll be tons of shad in the north ladder, but there won't be any in the south ladder. They hardly ever go through it. And so why is that? I'm not sure. And this is even during spill when you have some attraction there. You have salmon going over the south ladder, but you don't have any shad going over it. I asked Bill Spurgeon about it. He really didn't have, you know, a good answer why he thought it was. You know, it's just how it is. It's how it's always been. But it's possible there's something about that ladder that excludes shad. Maybe the entrance, maybe the weir depth. You know, if you're right at 1 foot and you have plunging flow versus strain flow, maybe they're less likely to go through. The problem with that is that you're going to have a bunch of shad that pile up right there and can't get through, and that's going to create a hindrance to salmon. So I don't know if that's the best solution, but, you know, over time we could probably start the top end and back them off. Or you could create some kind of attraction thing where shad can get through a particular area and salmon can't, or don't want to, or don't try to, and the shad are going through a particular route because it's attractive to them, and then we slowly start to siphon them off.
Have we actually seen a problem with shad?
Well, he's talking about like a fundamental, like it's blocking up one of your weirs or it's clogging up things. We've seen that.
Drains.
Like, drains. Sort of
do we really, really need him in the snake? I mean, the longer we wait, the harder it is to deal with.
We had kind of a problem at Granite this year for the first year. So they were interfering with the adult trap operation, which leads to Trevor's having his issues.
We've seen
it
in the bottom of the AFF too, where they've clogged up things and caused an issue. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just a longer wait.
So it gets back to whether
like a salmon delay because too many shatter.
No, not at this point.
But if you had a
the density was
if you had a million sitting right at an entrance, you know, then it might be an issue. I don't know.
So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like if you tried doing
certainly a concern.
Yeah.
So how do we address it or move it forward or make it an issue?
Well, it's not really. I don't think we can do anything in this forum because we probably don't have the equipment necessarily, so we probably have to have some sort of research done using whatever and then decide where would be appropriate. I don't know. It's kind of food for thought. I mean, people can kind of think about what for
task group.
Ed Meyer, he's kind of a shad passage expert. He even went to the East Coast and talked to those guys about approving passage. So,
he might have it's my understanding. I think I talked to you about this, Gary. That at Bonneville Dam, by controlling velocities or height over weir, you could actually exclude shad from passage.
Yeah, it's a plunging versus streaming flow issue.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty well known. I mean, that was something Bruce Monk did back in the 70 or 80s, I don't know. It's been a while back
does
when there was a lab at Bonneville Dam instead of a sinkhole.
Yeah,
it does.
That's a starting point, anyway.
Yeah,
but the thing is, like the snake, they're running a 1 foot criteria over their weirs, and sometimes it's 1.1, sometimes it's 1, and the shatter's still passive. So you would have to go to like 0.9 maybe or something.
It's a characteristic of the flow.
Then you start to affect salmon, you know, so it gets tricky.
Well, Bonneville, we increased to 1.3.
Mm-hmm. To get shad to pass.
Right.
Well, I guess you don't.
He's looking the other way.
It'd be better if they just didn't pass, but then, yeah.
Yeah, the problem is where they don't pass, you're going to cause
slow down
potential blocks. Send them into the Willamette.
It's a trade-off.
I like the idea of setting up something in the bracket to them, so they're just going this way, and all the salmon are going this way, and we're just putting them in a big truck and hauling them to the food bank.
Didn't we talk about that at the Dell?
We talked about that for Bonneville.
You know,
well, they did do something at Priest Rapids for a while, but now I think they just don't have overflow weirs, and they force them to just, and they won't go through the underwater orifices.
They don't go through orifices well, and they don't go through plunging flows well, so... That's right.
That's what they did there.
The way of, but they will. Some will. You know, obviously they do. But you'll slow them down.
Very few.
Yep. Yeah, you really slow them down. Yeah.
So if you only had orifice flow during a few weirs, and then you had a small overflow section for the shad to go, and all the salmon went through the orifice flow,
mm-hmm. you could direct traffic a little bit that way.
But would you block some salmon?
You would. You would. I mean, it's. But you wouldn't have to do it for long before you finally, you know, moved. Move shad down the river a little bit. I mean, keep in mind that this is an unusual thing for the Snake River, and it's a low flow issue.
Yeah.
It was seen in 2001 and last year, and other years it's nearly zero. At Grant, it's very, very low.
It used to be, but we let them get up there now. So.
But they've been up there for a long time. That's not the issue.
Substantial numbers.
And the thing, to remember is that the lower Columbia population was low last year. So it wasn't like this is a massive run of shad. They all just oozed all the way up the river. It had to do with the flows, 100%. It was a low shad at Bonneville. The count was down this last year. So it really has to do with low flows. So what's the frequency and how much do you want to spend versus...
Well, if it's just a change in a weird velocity, it doesn't sound like it costs anything. You just do it.
Yeah, you can do that. Mm-hmm. That'll do it. What I'm hearing is kind of a surprise to me was that the Snake River was already kind of in a... what you would think would be a plunging flow situation with a 1 foot of head on the weirs. And so I'd like to see a hydraulic engineer take a look at that and say, well, yeah, it's not really plunging. There's something going, maybe it's the configuration ladder or whatever that allows even at 1.1 to still be a plunging flow or a streaming flow rather than plunging. I don't know. But it cries out for a closer look.
Yeah. So how do we do it?
Without just willy-nilly changing things.
Yeah.
Well, we get rid of one task group and we start another.
There you are. We'll get rid of the smoke monitor one.
The shad one.
Yeah.
The shed one.
And we'll get rid of the ladder split one.
Who do you want as the chair?
Of course, Tammy never lets us get rid of any of them.
They go inactive. I let you go inactive.
Thank you.
Then you bring them back from the dead. So I have learned not to get rid of them. So Ben will be the chairperson for the Shad Task Group.
I can get rid of them all.
If you want to go inactive quickly.
Yeah.
Who would like to be on that task group?
We'll nominate Ed Meyer as the
chair. Yeah, Ed.
No.
So he'll really be inactive.
He's not going to be happy about that.
No, I know that.
Trevor, you want to be on the task group?
It sounds like we need to request the hydraulics group in, whomever they are, for the snake. Take a peek at what's going on.
John's got to be on there.
John wants to go fishing for him.
Rare search? That's the only way to get these task groups inactive.
Put Lowry on it or somebody like that. Sean.
Sean will be on there.
That
was hard.
No, it's
be nice, Tammy.
I
quite believe
that.
That is being nice.
All of his task groups that he has been on have completed their task.
He's trying to say that he actually closed them out and get them done.
I was complimenting him.
Now, of course, no one took it that way. That's all right.
I can tell.
Now that you explained it better.
He knew what I meant.
Not really. Just no one knew what you meant.
I was looking at his face, so it was definitely not understanding.
He knew, because I sent an email to Brad about it.
But he never got it.
Nice. Brad got he just makes faces whenever I talk to him, so you can't gauge
that. Yeah, that's right. He's never sure if it's going to be the stick or the carrot.
That, this is going to be painful no matter what.
Can we move on?
I'll get the sticky
carrot.
Yeah, I think that's going to be, this is going to be kind of a long-term work through.
Yeah.
Just to even get people thrown at it. So I doubt we're going to be doing anything different in 2016. But we could, if we start talking about it, yeah, we might be able to get something teed up.
It seems like it'd be good to come up with at least some strategy to control Shad, which we really don't have now. You don't have to eliminate it completely, but some method that you can actually have an effect on their numbers should they get out of control.
Been a lot of people think about this for a lot of years.
So out of control is talking about affecting operations of the fishways.
That's ultimately out of control, yeah.
I mean, it's not a number, right? That's more than some kind of.
It just seems like last year there was a lot more discussion about it than I've ever heard before.
Well, it overlapped heavily with the sockeye passage at Lower Granite. Yeah.
They're always
it was a low flow year, so it was dual. Yeah. There was more shad and. And they changed, they had to change the operation of the gate that Trevor was talking about in order to facilitate keeping shad from clogging up and overflowing the fish ladder, which had, you know, had the potential to impact sockeye. That was granite. And the issue there is that shad die as well as being in the ladder, so.
That's where they start plugging up drains.
Yep. I saw a few issues on the snake. There was some head differentials in the 0.4 range at low mo because of dead shad. So they're having to clean more often. So you get some high velocities. And you got high velocities coupled with a whole bunch of shad right there in an area. It becomes pretty, and they're struggling to try to maintain in there. So salmon are coming through the count window going, you know, this is chaotic. Maybe I'm going to back out for a little while. Maybe a little delays associated with that. So.
You're talking head differentials at count stations?
Yeah. Wilmo's got a fairly high head differential just because they have a dual pane there, so they can open one and clean the other and drop it. So you got a natural, like, 0.2 head differential with that. So as soon as you get any debris on it or shad, it goes up to, like, a 0.4 or 0.5 pretty quick.
Ready to move on?
Yeah.
Yes.
Avian updates.
Do you have?
Yeah, in general, avian updates. I just talked to these guys on the way in, and so a couple things came up. Of course, at
Hello.
John Bay, they still have.
Hi.
Hey, Ben.
You're not muted, Ben. Yeah. There's 10 lines now that are required to be replaced. There's also been a lot of discussion about trying to install them in such a way that they're able to be maintained. So there could be some changes at the connection points. At
but then, yeah, I don't know. I can't make that call for you.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
Hold on. Yep.
You're on mute. Or you're not on mute.
You're muted.
No, he is. Hang up.
There was an important presentation at AFAP that looked at both deposited pit tags on colonies and JSATs and tried to kind of make correlations between those two and find hot spots in the river. And the Dallas Dam was one, I'm sorry, John Day was one of those hot spots. The Dallas Dam wasn't actually on the area that they looked at. But I know that Cory is still interested in trying to get some help with bird problems in this project, including potentials for lethal take, and also trying to do a habitat modification somewhere near Miller Rocks to help us out there. And I think that the presentation that they delivered really had some high numbers. I was surprised that, you know, upwards of 24% of some stocks of fish that we're seeing, you know, being pulled out of the river, but of the mortality could be attributed to birds.
And here's some of the numbers for those that did not see them yet.
Oh, you didn't bring one for everybody?
No. Just myself.
It's in his back pocket.
Yeah, looks like it.
Yeah, we'll pass that one out. So I guess for me, it's an important update because that particular presentation really highlighted this bird predation issue.
Yeah, and just for awareness, I think he was at AFEP, Damian Walters, our wildlife bio and ops, he's going to get involved. I've been trying to get him engaged a little bit for several years, and after seeing the presentations, and then apparently there were some other NOAA reps that were at AFEP as well, he had some discussions, so I think he's going to start participating a little bit more with long-term direction.
Okay. Well, everybody needs to keep in mind, before you go too far down this path, that there's an inland avian management program, mm-hmm. and that's the program where habitat issues are dealt with, not
yep.
here.
Yep.
So this group deals with dams and dam tail race forebay issues. So, you know, I don't want to sit here and talk a whole bunch about habitat on Miller Island when this group doesn't deal with that. It needs to be taken to the...
But it's not going to go anywhere there.
Yeah,
that's pretty much, I mean, Division...
That's where it's got to go.
Division pretty much said, no, we're not dealing with Miller because it's not ours.
Yeah, but FPOM's not going to deal with it either.
So, yeah, at this point, we're going to have nobody dealing with it. It's going to be a problem that will never go away.
Yep.
So, hopefully, maybe in that group, we'll have some revised participation that maybe can help you move some of that forward, too. I mean, I don't know. I think...
Would be good, but...
I think we need some new... some different long-term approaches there because we do seem to be shifting dependent on the flow year, just the population around a little bit. And I think that we're concerned that you guys can take actions and then we're affected, sort of like what happened to us when we put the bypass in 2012 at McNary. We had no history of a problem, but then you had an enhanced effort. Suddenly stuff was moved. This year it looked like we didn't have a problem, but, you know, we have a different flow year or something. We probably are going to have some issues back at Crescent, et cetera. We're not convinced that our problem is gone, particularly if somebody were able to go into Miller Rocks and be effective.
I don't want to talk about this issue here. This is the wrong forum for it, but moving gulls isn't going to work.
Right.
You're not going to move them anywhere, because they're already saturating the islands up and down the river. So if you're talking about killing gulls, then you're going to run into the cormorant issue.
Well, I think the issue with gulls can be a little bit different because their diet is so much more varied that they do see the colonies that are off of the river. They don't find the number of pit tags that they find in the river.
So feeding French fries.
Chronically been...
Yeah,
where would you move them to?
Island
20?
That's
the question.
Well, they're going to... I mean, they'll make that decision themselves.
So Island 20 had, like, what was it? Four times the number of gulls that Miller Rocks had.
Mm-hmm.
And Miller Rocks had like four times the number of pit that Island 20 had.
Yeah, but if, you know.
So,
isn't there an issue with gull digestion and pit tag?
And that's an underestimate.
Well, I think they did correct. I think that
Alan's correct.
I think the numbers. I think they corrected it for that issue.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that happened after all the prioritization.
It's being adjusted.
Yeah. They should have, because there's no way. Otherwise, you take that number times by four.
By four.
Yeah, because Alan's work early on showed that, when they digested, they break the head tags. Right. So yeah, I did do a
version for that. I'll take credit for that.
Good work. Well done.
But what Alan took it the important step further, and that was to be able to come up with a correction factor. And you know, he did his experiment of feeding pit tag smolt to birds on the colony, and then he reinforced some of them with basically like a plastic shrink wrap, so that, and those didn't break. He was able to detect those at a traditional rate, and so he got to look at the difference between those two. And that's, it's just unfortunate that that information came to play too late in the whole Inland Avian process and prioritizing where actions to take. Anyway.
So some of the things we're looking at right now is trying to get Portland District to accept lethal in the USDA contract. We'll see where that goes.
Is that the only requirement? Just add it to the contract and get the okey-okey from higher-ups in Portland?
I don't know what is involved with actually doing that.
What we had to do was accept APHIS's BA and et cetera, and then that allowed us to pretty readily do it quickly rather than do your own whole coordination like that.
And then they just allot some take from somewhere else to the Corps, right?
Well, the first year we did run up against it. They didn't adjust it, I think, in season because they have a rapport that's kind of nationwide and or coastwide with Fish and Wildlife Service. They have potentially the ability. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any luck the first year with once they hit the quota for the region getting it adjusted, but then once we went through another year, then they were able to. So I guess a demonstration first and not just in season, and then longer discussions. So that probably fits as well with some of the other avian specific task groups, but I think, that would definitely be a good solution.
It's worked before.
Hey, Gary.
It's made a big difference for us.
Yeah.
Gary, where does Blaylock Island fit? Which one?
Yeah, but
it's Inland Avian.
So if we're changing the reservoir elevation.
Meeting in January. David, are you still on the phone?
Yeah, it's tracking bars.
Yeah, I'm here.
Heidi, are we still on for a meeting, the Inland Avian meeting in January?
Yeah, I need to look at it. They do to pull out for that for folks to respond to.
Yeah, you may want to close that up and
Schedule
that one before Christmas gets here. But I think that's a good place for folks to talk about these issues, especially the Blaylock issues, which was the topic for that. But it can also be opened up for some other Inland Avian discussion. But that's where this belongs.
Yeah, obviously, Blaylock's and wrap up of some of the November 30th meeting is the intent of that meeting, so I can add this dialogue.
If you would.
Best further.
Thank you.
So we anticipate out of that a request to do something maybe different with the four-bay John Day.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll be looking.
Ryan's looking at it, of course. Their survey folks have been looking at it last week and week before, and so by the meeting there should be some options or some things to talk about, specifics.
Okay. Ryan and I are trying to wrap up, but get some details together for that meeting to share and talk through.
Yep. Sure, we'd love to get it in the FOP or the fish passage plan, wherever it lives, or water management.
We're going to need to be a little smart about that, though.
Yes, we will. I know. Let's not go there.
I know.
You've
got to be a little smart about it.
I know.
Content. Let's
not put it on the record.
Exactly.
So, Bob, that's the issue. I mean, that's the project. Yeah, that belongs here. We can talk about that. And lethal would be, I don't understand why Portland's not doing it already, unless it's just a take issue that there's not a reallocation capability there. But if there is, then what's the whole thing?
Well, it's being elevated within the district to try to get some.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, because I know where the holdup is.
Do you need some help with letters from other people? I'm sure Blaine would love to write a...
Didn't we do that once here already?
Didn't we do it again?
Write a recommendation?
The approach we're taking is the project is going through their chain of command up through district, and we will run it through to planning.
Would you like us to write a letter saying that you can't meet your performance testing until you get this done?
Didn't FPOM put together a recommendation on lethal specifically for the Portland District a year or two ago?
I don't.
I'm remembering something along those lines.
Do you get letters? I don't remember one for Portland.
I bring it on my wall and I don't, so.
What's that?
I don't really remember one at all, Gary, because that's something I probably would have been.
We might have talked about it, but our chief of planning, from what I understand, kind of.
Yeah, I know.
So we are going to pursue gathering a coalition and then approaching it for stronger support. If you would like to write a letter and send it to me, I will be happy to use that as support for pursuing.
Why can't this committee make a recommendation as a committee?
We can do that.
Instead of writing individual letters.
And we can get it in the notes that FPOM recommends Portland District pursue acquiring the legal tape.
You might want to do a polling, see if anyone objects.
Does anyone object to that?
I'm not sure if I'm on board with that right this moment, but I'd say I'm objecting to anything.
Is ambivalent about us.
Surprise.
Not murdering goals.
it's just your fish, don't worry about it.
That's on the record now. Sweet.
That thing's too good. I spent most of yesterday listening.
You're a sick puppy. Did you have insomnia?
No, I just wanted to know what I'm speaking.
But in general, the recommendation is FPOM would like Portland District to pursue addressing our avian issue.
And CricFit will remind the Corps that part of their meeting of the performance standard test was predicated on avian predation abatement at the Downs. And our current read of the data is you're not achieving that. So it's going to be very hard for us to accept your performance data of meeting the performance standard tests. Hey, I'm just saying that resonates with certain people at higher levels. I can give you a fig less, but there's certain people, it matters.
It's amazing how good the microphone is.
You would be surprised.
Picked up a lot of figs.
Yeah.
And for what it's worth, Tammy, I think we would support that position, too.
Thank you.
I'm going to listen to all of them in retirement, put together a best of FPOM and send it back to you.
We're missing the reindeer.
You should release it on podcast. Vinyl. Yeah. Release it on vinyl.
Oh, this is these awesome podcasts.
You play back.
So it'll be like sitting somewhere with birds in the background.
Yeah. Squawking gulls.
Carrie's really lost it.
That's true.
I got a camera.
Retirement.
All right, anything else for
you guys?
I should mention, too, that we are going to try to increase the hazing efforts a bit with some boat hazing.
Okay.
What we can afford anyway. So we'll probably be able to afford about a month and a half, I'm thinking right now, worth of boat hazing. A month and a half of boat hazing, and then the remainder will be shut down.
There's one of the offenders right there. It's going to have the voice of the life of out there.
I don't know, but ask Eric.
The avian lion.
It's
under action items. It's moving over to CRFM.
Is it?
Okay. Yes. And Medina is doing whatever he does.
It's gone back to CRFM?
John Day avian lion, too.
It has. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Look at that smile.
Yes, and we are working on getting B2 orifices in CRFM as well.
Oh, well done.
I should just end the meeting
now. I know, I'm not. We're not. No. Drop okay, so done. BPA updates.
Nothing this month. We're doing.
What?
Not a lot of work in the winter, so we're okay for the moment.
Really?
Yeah. All right, so that brings us to coordination forms. Which are all walla-walla.
Yep. David, do you have any comments that you want to make right off the top here? So this is, you have one that was sent out as an MOC and one that was an update. We talked a little bit briefly about the extension, but if you want to add to that right now as people review that over the next week or two.
I don't think I have anything to add beyond what we already talked about earlier, and it sounds like we'll get some further dialogue in-house and back to folks on the extended in-water outage to answer the questions on RSW, flat spill, no spill questions. I need to get this group more info on that end of that request and can do that. The other one is just correcting the year of the MLC from a formality perspective. And just realize that it's referenced in other documents. I think everybody's aware that we are within the doubt is upcoming. We just realized we wanted to clean up the paperwork.
Okay, so we're done.
Okay. That takes us to FPP change forms.
Okay, we do have a few on today's agenda, just so they seem pretty low-hanging fruit, most of them. But just if we need to punt up the rest of January, that's fine. But if we can cross them off the list today, that would be great in terms of getting everything ready for printing. The first one under pending, 16TDA001, ladder crowding, that was under the task group recommendation. We're still pending a task group recommendation. There's a draft floating around. I think you guys saw that. But I don't know if we'd.
I haven't seen a draft since we had our last flurry of activity. And I think I put something together and sent it out. But that was just my take on it. So I haven't heard anything back at all.
Any chair, are you happy with the draft? Do we need to relook at this?
Yeah, I'm happy with the draft.
Are you?
Yeah. I don't know if everybody else.
I was fine with Gary's changes.
Well, I'm happy with it.
Shockingly enough, you're happy with the stuff you produced.
Do you want to send it to me and I'll get it posted to the January agenda? Okay. So that'll be hopefully finalized the January 1.
Okay.
And I'll have it posted by the end of this year so folks can review it ahead of time. And then three new pending change forms for the low-flow spill patterns. Ryan sent me the patterns. We're working with him to get those into the FPP. I don't know if all three actually have a trigger for closing the RSW, I think around 30 KCFS. They're trying to be consistent. So
that
just figuring
Bill's recommendation. Yeah.
So the recommendation was to follow the language in the Little Goose Spillway Weir closure criteria, sort of the 3-day forecast or whatever. But the interesting thing about these spillway weirs is they can all be closed with a tainer gate, open and closed. So there is the option of establishing a duration, say if it's going to be for more than a couple hours. So it's just like any other spillway, they can open it and close it. So we do have that flexibility because there are times where we're going to have an hour that's 27 KCFS and then it'll be 32. So how do we want to approach that? Because we do have the option of just closing it when the forecast says and keeping it that way for the rest of the season like we do at Goose, or we have the option of keeping it a little bit more flexible throughout the year for those hours that do pop up above 30 KCFS. So that's just something to consider in terms of the criteria. It doesn't have to be based on this.
Seems like it'd be better to have it daily just from the tail race.
Yeah, you don't need to pop it around every hour, that's for sure.
Yeah. And then I guess it's something to think about. I think Ryan has got a draft that he's putting together for you for this, and I know that Lomo Project wanted to look at that, and we haven't got any feedback. That was just a day or so ago in terms of what he was proposing.
Okay.
I need to think about that a little bit, too.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Some to throw in the mix is there's only one operator, and they do the nav lock and the powerhouse. So changing it too frequently, we may not have enough bodies to do it.
Exactly.
So we got to be a little careful on how.
Right.
But the feedback from the operators that I spoke to said that from their perspective, they're fine with opening. It's just like any other spillway adjustment that they would have to do. But you're right, there does have to be, like, it can't be every hour that they go back and forth. But at some point, there has to be, they have the option. So right now, the Goose spillway where it closes and it's done through the end of the year, we don't necessarily have to go to that place with this. With these
Goose is going to change too, though, because it's going to have
the adjustable.
ASW.
Yeah, we'll see that when that gets built.
So I would say daily at a minimum. You're not going to open and close it during the day, and then you're going to have to think about what time of day you would be doing.
So think about what the language is going to say, if it's going to be over 29 or 30 or projected over 30 for one day.
Yeah, see, that's the sort of, we don't make it too complicated, but give them the flexibility to open and close.
And every time we set those criteria, we hang in that thing for like a month.
Exactly.
It's just annoying. It's all get out.
Yeah. So I'll come up with something and then get those posted and then get people a chance to chew on them. But we have some time, obviously. Even if it doesn't get finalized in January, we have some time before they get implemented. So the new ones that have been posted to the website, I don't know if folks have had a chance. I did bring some extras if folks want to look at them. 16 bond 001, spill pattern rates. This is essentially rounding to the 10th. So back in 2010, they added this whole new range of spill patterns with a minimum 2-foot opening. And they calculated them, rounded to a whole number, and it just made these slight little discrepancies with GDACs that kind of pops up every now and then. So it's just, it just makes it consistent with the rest of the table, rounding all these whole numbers to the 10th.
I didn't see a change form. Was there one that was out?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it. It wasn't sent out with.
It wasn't included.
Sorry, it's posted to the website. Sorry, I don't think it
was. Okay, I didn't look at it, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it's just, there's not a change, it's just a calculation.
It's really
it makes it more precise.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Let's do that one.
The second one, I did send out to the task group folks, 16 bond 002, the mid-range operation. The operation that was approved in 2015 was contingent on this assumption that Powerhouse 2 units would rarely be operated above the midpoint in August. We got the data, I sent it to you guys. I think it's consistent with what you were assuming would happen.
Mm-hmm. And especially last year with low flows.
Yeah, it was pretty sparse activity above that midpoint. If only two of the units actually went above the midpoint at all, up to 16. So that now we have an opportunity to define the operation for 2016 and beyond. This sort of memorializes that as well as adds a caveat that modified units, as they're modified with the Unit 15 configuration, would not be restricted to these points. And so I just want to make sure that that's, something that you want.
Yeah, I'm chewing that up before I give you what you're looking for.
We're ready for that. But John's ready for that. And that's the whole point, right?
Mm-hmm. Then it's done.
Yeah, I think it's fine. But I don't know how else to write it.
So we don't need to get an answer on this one. I mean, this one, I think we can.
You guys have that one for you right now.
What's that?
You guys have that one for you right now.
Okay. And then Bob was nice enough to send in several change forms early. He wins. Buy him a beer. Yeah. He's the only one that got him in on time. So there's several. I don't know if folks had a chance to look at them, but I have some copies. So do we want to go through them real quick? Do you want to speak to them? Or?
Sure, I can. That trash rack one reminds me again. What was that one?
So,
can I see right
this? I don't even know.
This is all of them.
Just check that one.
This is great. So, if he can't remember, how am I supposed to remember it?
That's how he's got a lock on.
He's still seeing sturgeon everywhere.
Oh, full exit trash rack and or inspect and clear for debris at the exits. It's, we inspect them, so.
Yeah, that one's okay.
That's
whatever.
Just a wording thing, no big deal.
Sure,
I'm fine with that.
Is everyone okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Approved.
Water temperature, we still have something in there about the penstock, station service penstock. We don't do that anymore. We rely on the cobalt loggers and the fish ladders.
He made that better.
So does anybody have a problem with us not doing that like we have not been doing for the last...
Like we've not been doing. Just being honest about it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
You've screwed up the historical trend.
Yeah.
That.
No, that's fine.
It's the wording thing, okay. It sounds like. Yeah.
Approved.
Well, the location's changed. That's kind of an important change. There's a long history of penstocks being reported. So if you're going back to the literature, you can see penstock temperatures.
Yeah.
And more recently, it's going to be almost in the latter.
Yeah.
The important thing is that we'll be able to track that later. So.
But this is just station
some way
service.
To include that. Yeah. Just the.
He's just talking to station service,
Station service, penstock,
It's just wording.
Yeah.
Right? Well, it's location.
They don't use that location anymore.
You're still doing the other penstocks.
Yes.
It's just the station service unit.
Or have you stopped even doing the other penstocks, too?
Well, we don't take temperatures off the other penstocks.
So you don't do any penstock?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Now, that's a little different.
Oh, trying to pull a wool over our eyes here.
No, he's trying to say we haven't done it for 5 years, by the way.
Can't take it out of the plant, so you don't have to.
Keep
that's the wool.
Or don't change it.
That's the danger of making changes. And we start thinking,
that's sneaky.
So the reason you didn't do it because it was unreliable? So you switched to data loggers. That's what it's
Okay. I mean, it never was reliable. It depends if it's a short person or a tall person, or you have your glasses on or you don't. You know, I mean, it wasn't very good.
It's the angle that you're looking at, the gauge or something? Or
the angle of the fish ladders that are important anyway.
Well, it depends how much are important because of the historical trend.
Historical.
Yeah, because that way you had something over years you could compare to.
Right.
That was the main reason penstocks were...
Well, is there a temperature for the tailwater other than the gas monitoring gauge, which is well downstream?
Nothing that we take now, but we can.
Okay, well, see, that's the difference, because what you won't get then is a tailwater. If it becomes an issue at the Dalles, like it is upriver,
right. What
he's looking at is what's the tailwater temperature versus the ladder entrance temperature versus the ladder versus the exit versus forebay. So you got all those pieces, and what we've used as a surrogate for the tailwater was the penstock, because that's passing your turbine flow.
Mm-hmm.
So without a penstock measurement, you don't know what the tail race is. You can get a mixed flow downstream from the gas monitor. It's not.
Okay.
That's not the east ladder exit or entrance. So that's the issue. It's a bigger issue up and down the river after last year. Everybody's looking at this information.
Yeah,
so, you know, maybe it shouldn't be just. It's not just the Dalles, and maybe the Dalles really isn't that important. But I think that there needs to be a plan up and down the river for getting information, temperature information, especially with the climate changes that we're seeing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so it seems like
there needs to be a coordinated plan. It needs to be everybody, not just the Dalles.
Mm-hmm.
So, like a temperature logger in the tail race would probably be better.
That would be better, more
than
accurate.
Just a once a day spot check. But.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just so you have the data, you can go back if somebody asks. It's better than nothing, that's for sure.
So, location, is there any?
Well, I still think, you know, instead of figuring that out here, couldn't it be, isn't that something that should be decided with all the projects in mind?
Yeah, we put that on the SCT spreadsheet on last SCT. We asked Randy to look at a sort of a system-wide look of how we could monitor temperatures at all the projects.
It should be standardized. So. You know, I think it should be standardized for all projects. So
this sounded a lot like the conversation we've had upriver about possibly converting the alcohol thermometer to digital, so regardless of the angle you're looking at it, every person can read the same number.
And then everything's auto-uploaded, just like the four bay data with the streams.
That'd be the ideal, but at least we start with like a weekly download.
So yeah, we got to start small, but eventually that'd be the ultimate goal. Is that you have like four locations in the ladder, your tail race, your four bay.
Yep.
It's all auto uploaded. Anybody can go on there at any time and look at the data.
That'd be the best.
So USGS has four bay and tail water
for total volume gas.
The TDG.
They should have a temperature with that as well.
They do.
I do. Yeah, they do, but it's a mixed. It's not.
It's supposed to be mixed condition.
That's way downstream.
Yeah,
it's on the spillway side. So you're getting one side, but you're not getting what's at the east.
Right.
East entrance, especially at the Dalles, it is especially different.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the thing, Bob. That's why. Again, but I think it needs to be a coordinated approach, and it needs to be consistent among the projects. So I wouldn't, you know, go out and do something until you get, you know, the same thing going.
But until then, they're not using a penstock.
That's fine. We don't want bad data, so like what's happening?
So the change form is approved with the understanding that we do need
there's
to
something
get
bigger afoot.
Okay.
Yep.
You might put a note in there or something like that to remind us, because we'll always forget.
That's
we're good at that.
What?
Huh? Are we? What is this?
Oh, I done? Sure for that one?
What did it say? Next.
Move.
He's been busy.
So we are going in a direction of trying to coordinate and temperature data for all the project plan?
That sounds like it's over on the SCT side.
I made a good speech.
If we're not careful, we're making a task.
It's been teed up.
No, we're leaving it in SCT. And
if SCT does something with it, if Randy puts money towards it, absolutely. Otherwise, we're going to have to do a task group, as much as I loathe the thought of creating a task group.
Temperature task group?
Tell me in the next chair.
And that I would actually probably have to chair that one.
Tom, you must be feeling like you don't have enough work.
No, I feel like a complete idiot, but this is
I will put a note that if SCT fails, Tom,
which they
will.
I would say what we SCT is sort of into the future. What we can currently do now with what we have is sort of F pump. Can people go in there and look at the penstock and tell us what temperatures are? What little minor things can we do now? The big picture is SCT. Because there's not going to be overall funding for a while, so.
And for the water data.
This was for what funding? 17 funding?
Yeah.
No, because they were serious.
Okay.
I mean, like,
okay.
Just
okay.
Just at least you have one standardized location.
Well, that's the thing that needs to be talked about.
Exactly.
Where would you put it?
You can think about that over the holiday break, and we'll come back to it in January.
New Year's Day.
Well, the question is: is this going to be done in SVT, or is this going to be done here?
Yeah.
So that needs to be decided. If it's done here, then we need to work on it. Tom's.
We should let SVT try.
Let them try first.
Yeah.
But this is for 17 funding. If this is for 17 funding, nothing's going to happen next year as a result of that work.
Next year.
And next year is potentially a low flow. One we don't know, but
we don't know.
This
farmers are El Nino.
Yeah, El Nino. So for next year, I think this group is going to have to deal with it. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And if that's the case, then we all need to decide where you want a tail race monitor, ladder monitors, or floor beam monitor. Where?
You got to think about it, especially if it's Dallas, you need a situation where the ice crash sluice is dumping in downstream of the powerhouse.
Right.
Not the change of temperature as well. It gets tricky.
It does. I mean, that's where would you put it is a question. Right outside the east entrance or...
I want a couple of them.
So we should have our chair convene a meeting so that we can have these discussions.
I said if SCT fails,
the problem.
Or when it fails.
Tammy's got extra money.
But I have no money.
Yeah, Bob's got extra money.
He has no money. He's asking me for money.
We do if we don't boat haze.
Well,
yeah, if we don't boat haze, I can fund all sorts of things. So
anyway,
you won't have to boat haze. I'm here to help.
Yeah, that's for the Dallas. I think it's a problem in the first place. Probably not. So, don't boat hazing. But yeah, and are there any hobos out there that people can just plug into this stuff? Do you have to go buy something, or is it?
No, they're cheap. And
yeah,
we have a bunch of them.
So it's not that big
a
deal.
Big deal.
Pick a spot. First, you pick the spot, then you figure out how to get it done.
Yeah.
Well,
that I agree. It's a good thing to do, but. The data that we have to use to looking at thermal accumulation for migration this year is totally different. We have to use what we've got for 15.
Right.
So that data, whatever we collect in 16 and 17 is going to take a learning experience. It's valuable. It's good to have. But the measures, if we want to look at thermal accumulation by Bonneville, Dell, John Day, we have to use the data we've already got.
Yeah, and that's a different thing.
In
season, when people start screaming for temperature, what's temperature of the ladder versus the outside the ladder versus the downriver?
Well, thermal accumulation, where do fish spend their time?
Well, at the ladder or at a project, we can identify specific problems. But in terms of the accumulation, the biological impact on a fish moving through, we've got to use with the base what we have already.
Right.
But that's not a good reason not to enhance something. You know, when you have more points, you don't necessarily have to utilize them for last year's comparison. I mean, it seems like that shouldn't be the reason we block any improvements at this point.
No.
But I get there's a lot of tangled pieces here. It's important, though.
Okay, so you back up and figure out what your goals are first. Yeah. Is this thermal accumulation or is this...
No, I think it's two separate things.
So it sounds like excellent discussion for a task group because right now we're in FPP change forms.
Got it. Proved it. So when SCT fails, okay,
I'll have it on the January agenda.
We'll see if SCT fails or not.
I'm not on that.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to make you the co-chair with Lord.
There we go.
You can, but it doesn't matter. You don't host the water.
We can drown the horse.
I can. At this point, do whatever.
Not drowning the horse. It's a big hole to dig. All right, number four, entrance criteria.
Okay. It's just a matter of wording on this one. It's not like we're changing any numbers or anything, but it had like the west entrance had wording, you know, crest of 8 foot or greater below tailwater, and then the east had something a little different, and then the south didn't have anything. So it's just a matter of standardizing, keep them greater than 8 foot, have a standardized wording. No objections?
No objection.
That was fine.
Just make it more clear.
Yeah.
No objection on the next one either.
Recording.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to report on things that you don't have.
Yeah, unless you want to.
You can just make guesses.
They look good.
Yeah.
That's good.
RSW, get a report on that.
My RSW is in perfect working order.
I don't want to have
well, then we need FPP.
Does the wall crumble?
So if you want to do that.
That last
okay, one. The next one is PD trash raking. They don't. I think we had in there rake trash rack between 11 o'clock and 1 hour prior to sunset, but I think that was under the assumption that PUD actually backed their turbine down when they did their raking, but they don't.
It's not based on adult passage hours and effect on adult passage?
Well, I don't know what it would do to adult passage.
Well, if you're raking, you're going to disturb passage, right?
Where?
At the exit. If you're raking the exit. That's what you're talking about, so making the exit.
Yeah. Was that the concern initially?
So you will disturb fish that are in the ladder because of all the activity at the exit. So I think it was, the issue was the timing of that so that you didn't disturb fish, which, that timing is probably the worst I can think of. That
yeah.
But back in the day, we all thought, fish are a morning thing. So you don't want to do it in the morning, you want to do it in the afternoon, but by the time you get to the exit, it actually is afternoon, so
right.
It might be better to think
the
about that.
The wording can clarify the purpose of the times.
And maybe it sounds like you also can determine better times.
Yeah, let's look at this a little more carefully, Bob, and decide what the best time is to do it.
Yeah. How far is it from the...
Are you talking about the trash rack on the ladder exit or the turbine?
I'm talking about the trash rack on the PUD turbine unit that pulls in the auxiliary water.
How close is that to the exit?
It's probably right 50 feet.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not far.
No, it's right there.
Okay.
Probably 50 feet.
Yeah. So, honestly, probably first thing in the morning.
Maybe the best. Yeah. Just to get something. If you guys are going to be out there banging around and doing stuff,
because it probably won't be many fish up there by then.
So this section though doesn't refer to the PUD, so I'm wondering if it's pulled the wrong section.
They could be 3x6.
Because you said just take out that sentence.
Yeah, they're up there.
So I'm wondering if it's just applying to the wrong section.
You think?
Well, before 6, but they're not going to do it before 6.
Because this doesn't have anything. This is just adult fish.
This is for the ladder exit.
I don't see any PUD in here. Doesn't imply that this is just.
Well, it's it. North
the USA. All you can do is the fish will just move back down the ladder and exit all the way out. Then they'll get all the way.
Yeah, I guess, thinking about it too, usually a lot of times when they do rake the PUD intake, usually the exit requires some raking as well.
Yeah, it's all the same.
So they're going to do them both at the same time.
Let's get the timing down. I mean, the count window could help us on when the fish are actually getting up to that area.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, I know that Dale had posted a bunch of barrel graphs, right? We should be able to find those.
The count window at the Dallas is pretty high up, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah,
let's, on north. Yeah. Let's just take a look at that and revise it. Maybe I think you might be onto something. I mean, it's not eliminated. It's maybe a revised thing, but you've maybe found something that needs to be revised.
Just need to think about what we're doing.
Yeah, I just don't know what the best time. I don't know how we can figure out what the best time would be.
Well, why couldn't you use the count window?
Find the little count window
and
then go a little further beyond that.
See, there's a little, see, like.
I think the tricky part is you'll find that the species don't move the same. And so it's prioritizing which species you want to try to prevent your
rise. So it might be a happy
thing. Couldn't you just put language in there, look at the diurnal graphs for your time of year, and pick a.
Look at Chinook.
Pick the best.
Yeah. Best.
Look at Chinook.
Is this a project crew that does it?
And that's the problem. Sockeye arrows are the oddball.
Yeah, and I just say pick those. I would say pick those are your sensitive species. Yeah. Try to do your trash raking around them.
Steel is sensitive.
Coordinate trash raking with Project Fisheries.
Oh, that's a good catch.
At the Dallas, that's great.
Yeah,
Cordy ain't gonna be there forever.
Yes.
Yes, he is. they're gonna cast him in stone. He's not leaving. The crematorium where Cordy is
born. No, let's put a time in there. Look it up.
Yeah, the diagram.
We'll try to get a number on that then.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for a lot of these ones, not just the change forms, but these operations. As people cycle out of this group, we're going to open that thing up and not even know what's in there. So having some kind of the intent.
What change forms are all about?
Yeah. Change forms.
Now.
course it
will. Exactly. I think it'll take that long.
That's all I had.
All right.
What are you trying to do, pull a banner? I think his record was 16 one year.
And then there is one from McNary that Ann referred to earlier, just basically adding the open fog numbers to figure MCN1 so everybody knows that it's there.
That's a good one.
You don't have to be like, where's the fog?
Did you put with the fog scanner?
They're on there. You need a microscope to see them, but they're there. What's that?
Did you put with the fog stands for? Because it takes me like first because I was fog, then I just think, oh, it's
always
floating orifice. It does actually say it.
Fun to make that comment. Back
so that's approved.
What the hell's a fog?
And there is one additional one that was just posted to the website this morning, but we don't need to go over it today. It was from Brian McElwraith, for Appendix G Bonneville lamprey collection temperatures. So that'll
take a
be
look at it
finalized.
And we'll talk.
Yep.
And here's the new one.
Yes, Chris.
That I just sent out
before
the meeting to Tammy. Anybody wants copies of it? This is the one, I think it's on the agenda somewhere, about the lower 1% operation at Bonneville Powerhouse 2.
Oh,
I guess that's 5. I could wait.
532.
I should wait.
Potential change form.
It's not no longer potential. It's an
elevated 2 change
form. To a change form.
You just don't count.
All I added.
Scott.
Yes, I'm listening.
You call it soft constraint?
I took yours and added something to it. And then I didn't. There's only 10 copies there, so
I haven't read yours yet.
I don't have a bunch. But all I added to the section 521, which is the same section that Scott was simplifying, so I thought I'd just confuse it a little bit more again, was that from April 10th through June 15th, Powerhouse 2 unit operation below the mid-range should be avoided as a soft constraint.
You have a soft constraint there, basically.
That's it.
So avoid the soft constraint.
You can reword it however you want. You know what I mean.
No,
you
were there. This is put in as a soft constraint.
Should be avoided, comma, as a soft constraint.
So just in D2 there, April 10th to June 15th? Just in D2 here, the April 10th to June 15th? Or D2 and D2.
It's under 521.
Okay.
So I thought that was a good spot to put it, since it's more of a general guideline. I don't want to get into the mid-range thing. I didn't want that to be confused any further than it already is. But this is based on the results of the modeling work down at Arctic. So there's what I added to this was our trip report that we did as a result of the trip, Ed Meyer and myself, earlier this year. And then I think there's also a trip report due out from, or not trip report, but a model report due out from Davidson sometime in December is what I heard.
Was it due in November?
John, do you remember?
It's supposed to be September, then it's November, not December.
I don't remember.
I said December. Maybe I lied, but I thought that's what I heard of February or something.
Well, originally it was originally September. So
yeah, that was when we were there, and then it slipped, and I think the last. Anyway, the point is that's justification as well for this. If folks can get a hold of it, and then there's also the Weiland report with the biological data to take a look at. So pretty simple, soft constraint based on what we've seen at.
Now, what are the?
Doesn't that conflict with the 5.211?
Well, I don't see us even going to the low point. Like the way that it's already written, they start out within the mid-range, which is 13 to 15,
right.
And then it goes up from there. I don't see where they could ever go to the low end. To be honest, until August 1st, they have the option to go to the low end. The way that it's currently written, the lowest they can operate Powerhouse.
You're gonna make Scott rewrite it now.
The way
I don't tell Scott to wait a minute. I agree with that.
Well, it's currently the really? April 1 to July 31. The very first step is 13 to 15.
That wasn't what my understanding was, but I didn't read it.
It's just the word.
It's
the mid-range or
It's the mid-range. So it says within mid-range, not up to mid-range, but
sounds
within.
Sounds like it needs to be clearer.
It says that they will be operated
within
mid-range. Damn clear. What are you talking about?
Okay, I don't get that because what it says here.
And I'll pull the data and corroborate that they haven't gone below.
It says operate within the 1% peak turbine efficiency range. As specified.
So that's the general, and then you look under there, and it says it's modified as below, and so the very first step, powerhouse two units within 1% mid-range, 13 to 15 KCFS. They won't go below that. So that's the caveat until they're modified.
Right.
So the April 1, that very first sentence that you're referring to, that's sort of the boilerplate language for all the projects.
Right.
But we've modified it because of this problem. Mm.
But this problem, what I'm talking about, is different from the problem, from the other problem. It has nothing to do with that. So it would be applied to the boilerplate at Bonneville.
So even after always, the FGE modifications?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the FGE would nothing FGE to do with that. FGE improvements don't
okay,
improve
was,
the
okay.
low end of 1%.
Then that would be additive. So
yeah, I thought it went above that. All that other stuff's going to go away once the plates are made.
Exactly.
If everybody agrees. Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't even, it's not necessarily needed until they open up.
Well,
so the
only
unit
15 is well, not
yeah.
applies to right now.
Yeah, but you're right. So, okay. I think it's, no, I think yeah, that makes it just confirms that it's clear.
Anyway, that was due diligence for Bob Davidson because he was really concerned about this lower end of operation of RS2.
Yeah, but what blade angle is that?
So we're restricted.
I don't know.
Question, Gary.
Yes.
What are the nadir pressures at that lower end?
Oh, God.
They're
going to be lower.
So what are they at the up, mid to upper?
The pressure goes up as the flow through the unit goes up. So this would be the lower end.
Yes.
Plus, the sigma body two is very different from any other
yeah.
because the runners are deeper. So pressure is really not an issue.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll have more discussion on that.
That's
cool. Yeah, that may be one of the reasons why we get good survival out of the calorie sweeps. But, whatever.
Yeah, so
I'm not that worried about this one again.
Okay.
Talk to Davidson.
Yep. Yeah.
Anything else on
Yara?
Well, that's survival.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the condition one will get
condition
to
one.
So just a reminder that our FPP meeting will be January 28th.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that'll be at the core building is where we normally hold TMT.
Outstanding.
Oh, okay.
That's this
yeah.
building?
So we don't have to have
downstairs.
Push the button to talk. I think we had that problem last year. That congressional, we had a hard time hearing
panel.
Folks. And, yeah, so. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Is your red button on? Turn your red button.
I was like, yeah, run around and spend an hour getting set up before the meeting,
yeah.
trying to.
And at this point, I mean, we've just knocked off a bunch, so I haven't received a whole lot more. There's a few from Walla Walla, so it might not be as involved as they have been in past years, which will be. Well, knock on.
Yeah,
we'll
like from Walla Walla, Willamette folks
almost.
To come observe.
See how it's done.
Yes,
we'll be on their best behavior.
No,
it's
just
on mute.
They
can come if they're on mute.
Training for
yes. All right. So this takes us to task groups. And the only test group we have today is the condition monitoring, the adult
and soft constraint.
Do you want this? So, adult flows met last month. And we have a change form from them. All right, so condition monitoring, do you want to take a break and then come back, or
yeah.
you want to go right into it?
Take a break, let people get out of here if they want to.
The note taker needs a break, so we're taking a break.
If you guys have a key card, pass it to me before you leave.
That's the only thing.
If you're
otherwise, Trevor loses his bonus check.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
substantial.
You want that
one? Trying to say up front, that's
the
soft constraint,
yeah.
and then identify what the bottom end of mid range. Either 13.5 is identify mid range,
yeah.
or less than 13 is what you're trying to.
Yeah, avoid. In the lower. Yeah, I got that. Yeah. We don't usually use the word constraint in the FPP. It's more of a teletype.
Test group's
so.
Next.
I don't know if that's going to really
test
mean anything, but I just, I mean, it's like make best effort. You see
yeah,
that a lot,
sure.
other than
that's
constraints.
That's
but we can constraints.
Yeah, let's
keep it. Anyway, whichever way you understand it, it's
24 hours.
We're trying to do it, but it's not in the territory. So we can still sell it as available turbine range. They shoot me when it's absolutely not available.
Did you bring all that stuff or did Ida?
All right.
Or did Ida bring that or did you?
I'm so trying to bring this outfit. Holy, what is this?
I have CRB today, so I decided I didn't want CRB.
Yeah.
Pervy?
Project
Pervy.
What is that? Is it contagious?
That's your PRB.
He's wearing the short dress because he's got furby.
She's working on furby.
Go ahead, somebody.
Is this Aguilar? The best joke is he was over our Minister of Commission. My buddy Stuart. So Trump gets in. Does that mean Aguilar gets recorded?